Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Who's got the wiener schnitzel? Let's see, next we got roast beef au jus. Who's got the roast beef au jus? Last but not least, footlong. Who's got the footlong?
PFW in Progress.
Okay, gang, you know the rule. No humping, no pushing, no sniffing hiding.
With Fred Kirsch.
Wool, host, annual,
host.
Host.
Annual.
An annual meeting of...
The big one. International Preservation Society tomorrow night.
Paul Perillo.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
Don't you go dying on me.
And Andy. And Andy?
Nice set of Hooters you got there.
I beg your pardon?
The owls. They're beautiful.
Andy Hart.
I mustn't have known this for weeks.
What do you say?
How the hell do they know that I got gas?
Eric Scalavino.
I can't feel my fingers anymore. They're numb.
Maybe you should wear these extra gloves. My hands are starting to get sweaty.
Extra gloves? You've had this pair of extra gloves this whole time?
Yeah. We're in the Rockies.
For now, anyway.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah! PFW in Progress.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Yes! Yes!
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio or something?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Wow, game day. Although, is it really? Preseason game four.
Be glad when this game's over, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, but there's still some interesting things to watch tonight, I think.
Yeah. What's on your watch list?
And we'll get into that in a minute. I just want to do the introductions here. PFW in Progress will be here until 2 o'clock. Web radio at Patriots. No. What is it?
Yes,
that?
Web radio.
It's on the wall.
At Patriots.com.
Web radio at Patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482.
How long have we been doing this, Paul?
Now that we've gotten through the introductions.
Where's Andy?
I think he's at a wedding.
Sweet. He's not coming today?
No, nor tomorrow.
What?
Paul and I are doing the paper ourselves, as usual.
That's a wedding?
That's how Andy would put it.
Either he's getting married or he's AWOL.
He's AWOL.
Then he's AWOL.
Wow.
Because he's already married.
I can't believe this.
Well, if there's a game to miss, it's this one.
It's okay if Fred misses preseason games, evidently.
I didn't miss the game.
Sure, you did.
I didn't go to the game, but
right.
I didn't
that's
miss
true.
It.
That's true. Fred did blog during the game. He was watching the
that's
game.
That's right.
Andy will not be watching the game nor blogging through it.
Not as far as you know.
You should know. I got a little wiener.
That's right. All right. Well, Eric's here. So that makes up for Andy. And Paul's here. Doc's in the booth. And Scott from Atlanta is nice enough to buy us lunch today.
Oh, excellent. Thank you, Scott. Thank you.
Got the chicken parm from Pizzeria Grande.
So that's awesome. But no Andy. And
that's awesome.
Again, web radio at patriots.com. It's the email address, 508-543-7482 is the phone number. A little sad news, I guess the most recent news. John Stevens, former player, was killed a couple nights ago in an accident down in Louisiana. So our thoughts go out to him and his family.
The report that I read, Fred, said that he wasn't wearing a seatbelt.
Yeah, going fast. So,
I mean, how do you not do that?
I know.
These days.
I know. Anyway.
One car crash, too, right?
Yeah. I guess he was going so fast, he tried to overcompensate and lost control of the car and. That was it.
It's not been a real good year for Patriots alums, has it?
No.
It seems like there's a handful
in the recent
past that have passed away. Not good.
So that's sad news. Otherwise, what else have we got going on?
Kevin O'Connell has a new job.
With the Lions.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
First team that could pick him up did.
Interesting.
On the waiver wire.
Yeah.
Couple of other teams.
They've got a handful of quarterbacks already in camp.
Yeah, they've got a couple of guys who are hurt, I believe, which is why they signed Brooks Bollinger, late of the Jets, of the Vikings. He's been with a couple of teams.
Cowboys, I think.
Was he with them, too?
Yeah.
Wow. And yeah,
Culpepper and Stanton are both hurt.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, good for him. He's still working, still employed.
Yeah. The
still has health benefits.
Jim Schwartz, the head coach, said, quote that I saw was that he's going to put a little package of about 24 plays together, see how much O'Connell can grasp in the next few days and, you know, maybe get him to play in their game this week and see if that
will
help him make the team. So,
some local news, well, local ties. Jim Jagosinski.
Jeff.
Was let go from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I heard he was going to get demoted, and he didn't want to get demoted, so he quit. That's his story.
He always seems to have a story.
Well, I mean, that's fine. That story doesn't paint him in any better of a light.
No.
He was going to lose his job one way or the other.
Right.
You know? So I think it's one of those situations, and you know how much I dislike Boston College, Fred, but he did not do right by the school. And sometimes you get what you deserve.
Paul Barillo right on target there. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He created a little bit of bad karma for himself.
Sure did.
So,
what,
I don't know.
What was he do you guys know the details behind why he was going to get demoted?
No.
At all?
Maybe he just wasn't good.
No, like the situation in Kansas City, I think I totally understand from afar. I mean, I don't know all the details in that one either. But Todd Haley is an offensive coach who has his own system. He came in, he ended up, you know, they held on to Chan Gailey. And I'm guessing that the thought was, well, okay, he says he can run my offense. And at some point, Haley just came to the determination, much like Belichick with O'Connell, and said, no, he can't. He can't do what I need him to do, so I got to get rid of him.
Right.
You know, that would seem to make sense. This one, I don't know. You know, I don't know what Raheem Morris's, you know, offensive philosophies are. If he hired Jagosinski, it's a little bit different for Haley.
Right.
You know, he inherited Chan Gailey.
Right. All right. Well, so that's some local news. As far as the Patriots go, there hasn't been any roster moves since the flurry earlier in the week. It's been pretty quiet here.
Did we officially say the movement to the lists? I mean, I know they were all foregone conclusions, but Tyrone McKenzie was officially placed on injury reserve.
Right.
Brandon Tate was officially placed on reserve, non-football injury, and Mark Lavoie was officially placed on reserve, physically unable to perform.
Okay, so as far as McKenzie goes, that's it. He's done.
He's done.
We won't see him. Doesn't matter if they get in the playoffs. There's no exemption. He is done until 2010.
Minicamp 2010.
Right. Now, as far as Tate, there is a possibility. We could see him by week six.
I'm not sure what the NFI rules are.
Same as PUP.
Oh, okay.
After week six, they can begin practicing. They have a three-week window that opens after week six in which they can decide to start practicing. If at any time during that three-week period, once they begin practicing, another three-week window then would start. Another three-week clock. So you have 3 weeks. So anytime before week nine, they could start practicing. Anywhere in that area, and then you have 3 weeks to make a decision as to whether or not you want to activate the guy. So it could be as late as week 12 before you see either Lavoie or Tate.
But there is a possibility we could see Tate this year at some point, which I think would be exciting.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised, too, with that, because, I mean, that would put it at about 1 year since the injury, if he goes through those 6 weeks and then those next couple of weeks of practice. And, you know, even in this day and age with all of the high-tech rehab that they have, I think that's pretty quick for a guy at his position to come back that quickly.
So you think the difference is with Brady, he doesn't really rely on his speed and cutting and all that, and it's different?
I think he can get away with it a little bit more than a wide receiver who needs to accelerate, needs to plant.
Are there various degrees of ACL reconstructive surgery? I mean, could it be possible that his wasn't as severe? I don't know.
Well, I think it might have to do with the injury itself as opposed to the surgery. I think the surgery is probably not too much different.
I don't know.
But I think if you have a more severe injury, there's more to get at in the operation. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how badly I forgot how badly Tate's injury was.
Well, I don't know what
Tate's
was, but I mean, Brady also did the MCL. I don't know if that's – is that automatic? And Andy – it's too bad Andy's not here because it's the one thing he does know about because he tore his. Is that a common thing when you tear an ACL? Is it kind of a, you know, a formality? Right. Is it untold that you also damage your MCL?
Right.
It's not
I don't think it is.
It's not a given.
Yeah.
But traditionally, if it's an ACL tear, there's usually some MCL or even meniscus damage.
And he would know because he's Doc.
Right.
And my sister's an athletic trainer.
Oh.
So that makes sense.
I was just going with the fact that
I would be absolutely, I mean, barring a rash, I mean, I'm talking about a rash of injuries in the receiver slash return department, I'd be stunned to see Brandon Tate in 2009.
I would too. It's a lot like the
tough position to play without a training camp as a rookie.
It's a lot like the Willis McGahee injury a few years ago when he was drafted by Buffalo. Tore his ACL in the – or blew his
knee that's a whole – yeah, that was a much, much more serious injury
in
much,
January.
Much later right. than what we're talking about.
And he was – I believe he came back and practiced and was even activated a couple of games with the Bills, but didn't really see the field. And it wasn't until his second year that he got, you know, actual playing time and worked his way back. I think if I had to guess, I'd say that's what Tate's going to end up doing. He might end up, you know, on the practice squad or whatever –
yeah,
I don't think he's going to be in a game this year. Like Paul said, unless there's some really urgent need for him late in the year, I just don't see it.
Yeah, and just one thing with Eric talked about the practice squad. I don't think he'll end up there because that would mean they would have to release him. And
you're right.
To,
I'm sorry. I meant the practice
field. He'd have to make
field.
It through waivers. Yeah. I thought that's what you meant, and that's why I didn't want to do the Indy Hart.
Right.
Right. You're an idiot.
Sounds a lot like our friend from the Herald, too.
Now, I do have an announcement to make. This morning we launched the new fantasy forecast game for Patriots.com. This is a game we've been running fantasy forecasts since, God, at least 2000. So for the last 9 years we've been running it. You know, it's a prediction game on Patriots.com, but now it's on PEDs. We've put the game on Facebook so you can take advantage of all the social viral stuff with Facebook, and you play the game. There's also a trivia component to it, so it's really cool. You win prizes every week, with a grand prize at the end of the season being season tickets for 2010. So go there today. You want to make sure that you get in and register before September 14th, so you can get your final season predictions in before the season starts, because that's another part of it. You do weekly predictions and you do final season predictions as well. So it's really cool. I think you'll like it. You have to sign up for Facebook, yes. But Facebook's free. There's no cost to that. And everyone's doing it now anyway, so you might as well. But the game is awesome. So go check it out.
Check it out.
Go to facebook.com/New England Patriots.
Who came up with the trivia
check
questions
it out.
This year?
Well, marketing did. And I went and corrected a lot of them.
Well, I'm glad to hear
shocker.
That. Because that is something that has fallen on my lap the last few years, and those aren't easy to come up with.
No. They have about 1,300 different trivia questions. So,
yeah. 1,300?
About 1,250 of which I had to come up with over the years.
Wow.
They're specific.
It's not an easy thing to do.
To each game, right?
No.
Oh, they're not?
It's all that's the trivia. There's two games actually that we've launched. One is the fantasy forecast. The other is just straight trivia where you get points and stuff like that.
Oh, then maybe I still have to do that. Who?
Probably. Yeah. So, Paul, you are Mr. Trivia.
You know what? I love trivia.
Yeah.
But you know what I found in doing these the last few years?
Yeah.
I love to answer trivia questions. I don't love to come up with any questions.
Yeah.
It's much harder to come up with the questions. And I also would cut marketing a little bit of slack because more than one of my questions over the last, I'd say, 4 or 5 years has been deemed incorrect.
Wow.
And you look back and you're like, oh, yeah, well, that's a good point that fan made when they correct them.
Yeah. So wording is very
yes.
critical in trivia. It's got to be worded just right or else it could have a completely different meaning.
So you don't want Paul to go all Alex Trebek on you.
Oh,
right. Sorry.
And then, you know, you couldn't have Andy doing trivia questions because each question would be like 4 paragraphs and it'd be one sentence. So.
I agree.
All right.
Plus he'd giggle after every one.
webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482. is the phone number. So the game tonight.
I wanted to get to see what you had on your watch list tonight.
Well, I'm obviously looking for guys that, you know, are on the bubble. Crable. I don't think Sean Springs is going to play, so I won't be looking for him. We'll see how Vollmer does. I don't think Edelman's going to play, so.
Are you curious at all about the backup quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're going to be watching Hoyer and Walter.
I think it kind of begins and ends there with me.
Just the quarterbacks?
Yeah. I mean, I don't really see. I don't think there's going to be a ton of guys playing tonight that are going
to
be around.
Well, I think Paris Lennon needs to get some reps. Yeah,
there were a few, but I don't think there'll be a ton.
Well, there has to be 11 on each side. They can't play with less than that, Paul.
And they need to cut 21 of those guys.
Yeah.
Not like 7-on-7 high school, or was it 8-man football out in the Midwest?
I'm
they
sorry.
Play some of that?
I'm wrong.
I think it's 9-man.
19.
9-man?
Not 21. 19.
Cut 19 guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, not including lists, various lists that they could come up with.
Right.
No, I think they put the guys on the list that are going to be on them now.
Yeah, I think so, too.
So, that's a big cut down. But I want to see Lennon get some reps. I know you guys didn't think he looked that good. I thought he looked okay, running down some tackles.
He had a couple of good plays on the tackle, but
he had that one play obviously that really made him look foolish.
That's the one that's everyone remembers. You
know, but then again, Urlacher had one against Tom Brady that made him look bad. But we're not saying that he's got a little bit of a longer resume than Lennon. But it happens. It happens in the open field a lot.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think in Urlacher's play, too, I think was a little bit different because I think he was trying to avoid a penalty.
Right.
In Lennon's case, I think he just got faked out.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, but.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see. I'll be blogging during the game.
The Kirsch words.
Kirsch words.
That'll be number two on my watch list. The quarterback and the Kirsch words.
Okay. I guess that's it.
Huh? I'm ready for the regular season, Fred.
Oh, absolutely.
Enough of this. Let's go.
Well, then even after this game, we've got now another 11 days or so before the first game.
Yeah.
Which will be nice, though, because we'll be able to watch the Thursday night game and then the whole slate of games on Sunday.
Yep.
If you got Comcast or Verizon or I think even Time Warner, they have that new Red Zone channel that you can put on, and any team that's in the red zone you can get highlights from.
Now, do you have to pay for that specifically, or is that part of like the digital tier?
I think it's part of the digital tier because I haven't had anything saying, hey, do you want this?
So what do they do if there are four games that just happen to be in the red zone at the same time? Do they do like a quad box kind of thing?
Yeah, they split it up.
Or do they just go really rapid fire, bang, bang, bang? Because, the chances of having multiple plays that happen simultaneously are pretty slim.
I don't know. I mean, I think they've had this before for people with DirecTV, so maybe somebody with DirecTV has used it before can email in and let us know how it works.
Yeah, that would be nice.
That's got to be an exciting way to watch football, though.
I don't think so.
Things happening at once, and
I don't
if you only have one TV.
I don't like that.
Why?
I like to focus on the game I'm watching.
I am with Fred. See, look at that.
There we are.
How about that?
Wow.
I'm with Fred. I don't.
Mark tape, Doc.
I don't mind.
Paul and
listen,
Fred
I don't mind
agreeing.
Flipping around, but I want to watch every play. If the game that I'm watching, I want to see every play.
Right.
I don't want to say, I'll turn that one off for a quarter and come back to it. If I get into a game, I want to see every play. I'm with Fred on that one.
Yep. So that's how I like to watch football. Now, do I want to choose the game I want to watch? Absolutely.
Yes. And that's where the DirecTV and all that stuff comes into play.
Right.
Which if I. If I was home every Sunday, I probably would have that.
Yeah. Oh, I would get it in a heartbeat. I don't care how that little dish looks on the top of your house. I would definitely get a DirecTV if I was home on Sundays.
It's like for a little college football this weekend too, Fred.
Yeah, there's not a lot of great games though.
There's about three
what
or four.
About?
Three or four.
The
good
Georgia
games
game
out there.
Might be a good about? Game. Well, okay. Give me
Virginia
a good
Tech,
game.
Alabama.
Boston I was College, looking at that.
Boston College, Northeastern. That would be a great one.
I
love Nebraska's first game. Who are they playing? It's like,
I don't know.
They do this every year.
That College of the South team that
they
were talking about.
Unbelievable.
Anybody willing to give me 38 points? 38. Anyone? No? Wow.
I saw Boston Globe have the Northeastern preview.
I saw that.
This week.
Yeah, the Herald did today, too.
Wow.
You know how
What is it, like a paragraph in the lower right corner of the page? Is that it? No? I caught Paul with his mouth full.
Are they still wearing the all-black uniforms, or do they have they mix it up with some color, put the red in there?
They have both.
Oh, they do?
They do have an all-black, and they have a red shirt, and they have a white shirt.
Okay. I heard Northeastern.
They play well in none of them.
I heard Northeastern might have to get rid of their football program for women's curling.
It could happen.
Yeah.
Could happen. I mean, I told you about the fiasco at Fenway Park in the hockey, right?
Right. So.
So I get a lot of their advertising and stuff and their marketing kind of campaigns. They send out this email, you know, like we do.
Right.
They're actually suggesting to people, get tickets now for the Fenway Park game.
Ugh.
You know, UNH Northeastern women's hockey at Fenway Park. Like, who's going to buy that?
Well, I think the alumni will.
You think they'll get 100 people to buy tickets?
Because of the venue.
You think they'll get more than 100 people to buy tickets?
Yes, because of the venue.
No chance.
Not because of the game.
Not unless they're going in to watch BU and BC play.
And that's not the same day as the NHL game, right?
No.
That's the week leading up
to it.
It's a
week after.
Oh, after.
Yeah.
Oh, see, that should be a week
leading up.
They've
got the ice down. They might as well use it.
Yeah, but that should be the lead-in. That's like the undercard to a boxing match. You want to lead up to your main event. You have the big NHL one, then no one else is going to want to go.
They don't have the smart marketing minds that you have, Eric. They need you, you know. So
I don't want to work for Northeastern.
So our old friend Heath Evans hit the end zone in this New Orleans Saints Oakland Raiders preseason game from last week.
That's good for him.
I like Heath. Good guy.
He's a good guy.
Yep. He is a good guy. Good in the locker room.
Good for a quote anytime you wanted it too. He was one of those go-to guys we lost this year for quotes.
Yeah. I was really shocked when I saw him go, and then they let Hochstein go because Hochstein was my fullback. I don't know what they're doing. They're going to have David Thomas, I guess, as the fullback, right?
I don't think they're going to.
In the jumbo package?
I think that's what it looks like.
It looks
when they want to have that blocker in the backfield, it looks like it's going to be him.
Okay. Something tells me, though, that this offense isn't going to need the use of the fullback too many times in short yardage. I think they're going to be airing it out a lot. You know, they might not need those.
It'll be interesting because all signs would indicate that, but that's exactly when the Patriots do something else.
Although, to your point, Fred, the Patriots, I was just doing our little facts and figures thing for the paper, for the our kickoff issue, and I saw an interesting stat that New England led the league in 4th-and-1 conversions last year.
Huh. Okay.
With like, and it was a pretty high number, too.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that.
They mostly go
for it on 4th down all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which was pretty interesting. I mean, as far as going for it that many times and then actually making it, I think they made it like 70 to 80% of the time, I think, was the – I forget the exact number.
It seems like the only times they ever get stopped is when the game's really not in question.
Right.
You know, like they're down, you know, 13 with 2 minutes left and they're just going for –
They're just trying to run the clock out.
And it doesn't really matter that they didn't get it. They lost anyway.
Right. Regarding the red zone, Dave from Manhattan is on the phone right now. He's going to tell us about how the red zone works. Dave, how you doing?
Doing good, guys. Just to let you guys know, that's probably the greatest channel in the history of mankind.
Wow.
No joke. I've gotten the football package, DirecTV, for the last, 4 years or so. And I'll tell you what, it's switching back and forth between, like, watching the Pats game and going to the red zone channel. You don't miss a single play, especially for the last hour, probably a 3 to 4 o'clock when all the 1 o'clock games are ending. You have like 6 games that are coming down in the last second. You don't miss a play. They switch back and forth from play to play.
Wow.
It's like live sports center. It's awesome.
Now, do you go into the actual broadcast audio or is it someone else with a voiceover?
You go into the actual broadcast audio. What it does is, and then they'll say, it's not necessarily like, they call it the red zone channel, but it's not just when somebody's in the red zone. It's whenever a big play is happening. Suppose you're watching Suppose it has the Patriots game on, and they're driving right now. So, like, in Tennessee, there was just an interception. We'll bring you right to that play right after this.
Right.
You go to the play. You go back to Tennessee. They show you what's going on. They show you the replay, show you what's going on. Then if something big, they'll go back to the main game that's going on. So they show you the main – they'll tend to show you, like, the main game that's going on, like the big game of the weekend.
Right.
And then they'll switch back and forth and as things are happening. But especially for that last hour when all the games are coming to an end.
Yeah.
It's awesome. You can't beat it.
Boy, you know, that would be an unbelievable job, being the guy in the control center, like deciding when to switch back.
I, Yeah, it's one guy that's kind of doing the voiceover that tells you it's, I forget his name, Andrew Siciliano or something like that. And, yeah, he does a good job. Doesn't really get in the way of the games. It's pretty funny, so it's, yeah, definitely worth it.
Pretty cool. Okay, well, I won't be able to see it, but I guess...
well, maybe the first week.
Yeah, that's right. We'll see it Sunday. All right, well, thank you, Dave.
All right, folks.
Dave from Manhattan.
All right, David. Thanks, Dave.
That is the beauty of this show.
Absolutely.
I don't care what the topic is. If we need an answer, one of our listeners will have it.
That's right. That's good stuff.
I wanted to add in, we talked a little bit about the O'Connell situation on Tuesday, Freddie, and you mentioned that he got picked up by Detroit. A lot of speculation about A.J. Feely still out there. Philadelphia, they're even going a step further. They're talking about they need another tight. They need a backup tight end. Clearly, the Patriots have four NFL-caliber tight ends currently on the roster. The thought is they probably won't need all four. Maybe Alex Smith goes to Philadelphia for...
Would you give Ben Watson?
Yeah,
up
sure.
For him?
Yeah, yep.
Without hesitation, you say?
Yeah.
A.J. Feely for Ben Watson.
Fair trade.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I would rather give up Alex Smith because I think Watson's better than Alex Smith.
I would too.
But the value of Feely to this team could be equal to – it's more than Watson's worth to this team right now, and it could be equal to what the value for Watson would be for Feely. So
yeah, I see what you're saying there. I think Watson would be a better player for the Patriots than Feely. Feely probably isn't going to play.
No, but
– and at best, he's a back. I mean, he's a third-string quarterback. I mean, he's not even a backup. Kevin Cobb is their backup.
Yeah,
with Vic and McNabb, and I don't want to get too lost on. Oh, if AJ Feely comes, we'll be better off than we were last year with Matt Cassel. I don't think we will be. I don't think he's as good a player as Cassel, and I certainly don't think he's going to have any knowledge of the system that Cassel had. But I would feel better if there were another guy around, just in case. But
and would you say it'd be worth giving up Ben Watson for?
Well, just because I don't think you have that need. I think you have three tight ends that you'll be fine. I don't think that your offense will be greatly affected by the loss of Smith or Watson.
Right.
I think if one of those is here as the third tight end, I think that's fine. If they're not, I think that's fine, too. I think the offense will be just all well and good without four tight ends. That's why I say I would make the deal.
All right.
You know how I feel about the whole backup quarterback thing, Fred. If something were to happen to Brady long term, we're not going to be
forget
in good
about
shape.
It.
A lot of people, John in Dallas, saying he has to agree with Paul. I have the NFL Packers on DirecTV so I can watch the Pats every week. Expanding the screen to see 4 to 6 games at once is a waste of time, but there are other features via the NFL Package that are nice to have, like keeping track of player stats and updates on games while I'm watching the Pats game. If I lived in Boston, I probably would not have DirecTV because I could catch the Pats on local TV, but living in Dallas, I have no other choice.
Yeah, but,
absolutely. If you were out of town and you couldn't get the game, like Fred said, I want to watch the game I want to watch.
Yeah, but it's also, I think you can do both, especially with this red zone thing. If you're watching the game you want to watch, you still want to be clued in as to what's going on around the league. I mean, anytime they do the updates on the bottom of the screen, you're looking at that to see what's going on. So this is just getting a little, getting the visual aspect.
You know what it's all about to me is it's all catered to the fantasy football now. And there's so many fantasy football players. How many millions, Fred? You have those stats always at the ready. How many millions of people?
A lot of millions.
But I do think that's part of it.
Because
all of those channels that put up all the stats, I don't care about any of that. But I know that most people do. So I think it's a good thing. I'm glad that they do it, even though it's not a huge thing for me. I know the vast majority of my friends play fantasy football. And they want to see that. They're looking to see who's in the red zone, who's going
to
score.
Not to mention the gamblers.
Who's going to score the touchdowns. Right. Now, for me, that's all I care about.
Right.
Is for our stupid stuff.
Right.
When we pick the games and all that thing. I just want to make sure I'm beating you guys. Last year was a humiliation for me for losing to you.
John writes in, when Paul and Fred are on the air, why do they always sound like they have a slice of bologna and Wonder Bread between their cheek and gum?
Well, usually that's the case.
Right. The only person I have heard that sounds like he is not snacking down on air is Eric. Why is this?
I hide it better.
Eric takes little petite bites. He doesn't wolf down.
I'm enjoying my chicken parm calzone from Pizzeria Grande.
Plus he doesn't talk as much, so we can eat more. Anyway, on to the question. Given our abundance of defensive linemen and possibly tight ends, plus Green Bay's abundance of linebackers in the relationship between Belichick and Dom Capers, could you see a trade in the works between the Pats and Green Bay?
I wouldn't bet on it.
I would need to, rather than know positions, I'd rather know the players.
Yeah.
But Capers is installing a 3-4. We know he has knowledge of the Patriots system. I don't have any idea what the relationship between Capers and Belichick is or was.
Right.
None whatsoever.
Right.
It was a brief stay. It was 1 year. Yeah, I mean, on paper, that makes sense. The Patriots do have a good amount of defensive linemen, and we're a little thin at linebacker.
Speaking of trades, rumors of Brandon Marshall to the Jets and now maybe even the Giants.
Oh, they're in
the other New
too?
York team.
I actually think it makes more sense for the Giants.
I do too.
It's funny. Both teams badly need a wide receiver. But to me, the Giants are a really, really good team. That might be their fatal flaw.
Yeah.
You know, a lack of a big-time weapon. Now, here's the thing. If you're the Giants, do you get in bed with that same guy again? Because
right.
let's face it, that's what Plaxico
was. Plax was.
He's
right.
a big, physical, strong diva.
Right.
That's exactly what they're going to be acquiring.
Yep.
Now,
yep.
I don't know if Brandon Marshall's as bad a person as Plaxico. I don't know how bad a person Plax was there. You know, forget the gun thing. I mean, that was stupid. We all know that. But there's been a lot of other stories about Burris in New York that weren't very complimentary.
Right, no.
Not going to meetings,
exactly.
showing up late,
right.
being a bad teammate,
right.
and all that stuff. I don't know if Brandon Marshall's like that. It certainly seems like he is based on what I've seen this summer.
Well, they say he's got a little bit of a temper, an anger management problem.
He's had probably more trouble with the law than Plax
right.
had
right.
before this latest gun charge.
If you're either one of those teams, it seems the Giants would make more sense, A, because they need a wide receiver more, I think. Like Paul said, but also because do you really want a rookie quarterback to have to deal with that kind of thing right off the bat?
Well, that's why I think it makes more sense for the Giants. I think they're a more ready-made team.
Yeah.
I think even if you get Marshall as the Jets, there's a chance that Sanchez just isn't ready.
Right.
Let's face it, most rookie quarterbacks aren't quite ready. Flacco and Ryan were the exceptions last year. Peyton Manning went 3-13 his rookie year.
That's right.
You know,
Drew Bledsoe didn't do too well.
Drew Bledsoe went 5-11 his rookie. Well, actually, it was more like 5-8 because he missed three games that they
right.
lost. But you know my point.
Right.
Most guys that when they come in the league, they're not quite ready.
Right.
It's the exception to the rule when you get guys like Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco last year. Sanchez looks like he's a player to me. I think he looks like a promising player, but chances are he's not going to be quite ready. Now, I will say, if you put Brandon Marshall, let's just say for argument's sake, they had a serviceable NFL quarterback, if Sanchez could play at a serviceable level, you have Brandon Marshall on that offense. Jericho Cotchery is a guy who's been pretty productive, but he's more of a complimentary guy. I think he's a number two guy. He's hurt the Patriots in the past a lot.
Oh, yeah.
They have a guy in Chauncey Stuckey who's, I think, a pretty good slot guy. David Clowney is kind of a speed burner, one-trick pony, but he's been pretty productive. So you have three or four receivers there that are decent. You have Dustin Keller is a promising young tight end who had a good second half last year. You have two running backs in Thomas Jones and Leon Washington, plus they drafted Sean Green. Their offensive line's not the greatest, but it's not terrible either, you know, with Faneca and Woody and the Brick, who's been a disappointment. You know, Mangold in the middle. That's not a bad offense on paper. I mean, I don't know how it all unfolds, but
if you put
a big-time receiver as the number one guy, and suddenly I think that offense looks a lot better than it is. I mean, let's face it; they think they're going to be the 85 Bears on defense.
Now, here's what here's where my
right.
Yeah,
I mean, the way Kerry Rhodes is talking, we might as well not even have Brady show up that game.
Here's my conspiracy theory, though: the Broncos wanted Harris, the linebacker.
Yeah.
So here's what I'm thinking: Belichick calls Josh, says, "Look, give him Marshall, take Harris. Okay, then I'll do a deal with you. I'll give you, I don't know who, for Harris, and then we get that linebacker that we need."
So just exactly what's in it for Josh.
Yeah.
No, it's probably somebody on this team right now that Josh wants that we don't know about.
He has a half dozen of those players.
No, it's not,
I mean, who do we have that is expendable that Josh wants?
Maybe Lawrence want Maroney. They got that other guy.
Yeah, they just
really
drafted Noshon.
He's taken a quarter of the roster already.
Yeah. But could you see that happening?
I love this is why.
Because obviously the Jets aren't going to give us Harris, but we get him via. Get him via the Broncos.
I like David Harris, but I don't know for sure if that's the guy necessarily. I mean, let's face it: if we loved him that much, Fred, we would have drafted him. We had a chance to draft him a couple years ago in the second round.
No, but you know,
he must be in another galaxy somewhere. There's no way that would happen.
Plays the guy.
Where's that from?
I don't know.
Oh,
you know, you play the guy a couple times, and you know what? He's pretty good. I'd grab him.
So that would be something.
That was beautiful, though. I love that. Josh, well, you know, you just take David Harris for Marshall. Then we'll trade. We'll get David Harris from you. But they won't know. Huh? And, you know, we'll give you Steve Williams and Titus Adams.
We'll give them Ben Watson. So now they have Graham and Watson back together.
Oh, boy.
And
get the band back together?
And who else would we give them? Who else would you give them?
Titus Adams.
No. It's got to be something. Somebody.
But seriously, who is expendable on the Patriots? That Joey Galloway?
Maybe.
I mean,
that's a little risky.
Who's? I mean, who's really expendable that you'd be willing to trade that Josh would want?
Right.
I don't know.
Fred Taylor.
They've got a ton of.
They don't need
backs.
A running back.
Yeah. I don't know.
They have Lamont Jordan and Knowshon Moreno, at minimum. That's why I heard people talking about Denver. I think Denver's going to be a train wreck, no question. But I heard people say, "Who's going to run the ball there?" I mean, they have a committee every year. I'm like, "Who's going to run the ball?" They just drafted a guy.
We had a committee here last year.
Would you ever trade?
We're going to have one this year.
And you know, this might be crazy, but hear me. Would you ever trade Vince Wilfork for David Harris? Given this contract situation and all that,
not straight up.
No.
Vince Wilfork's a better player than David Harris.
Oh, he might be, but maybe the Patriots are saying, yeah, you know what? We're seeing enough out of Brace and Pryor that we're going to get by, and we're going to shore up the linebackers.
Another example of this Oshawa guy. Everybody says he's the best corner. Every time I look up, there's a guy running three steps behind him.
He got hurt, too, in this game.
Oh, he did?
Oshamuga.
Namdi Asamoah.
Yeah.
Thanks for spoiling the game for us.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
It happened like 2 days ago.
I'm not going to watch the rest. That is intriguing, though. At least you bring up a. I wouldn't do it. I think Vince is worth a lot more than David Harris. But that's something that would be, you know, that's worth like fooling around with for a half hour on a radio show.
Well, maybe we get Harris.
Bill Belichick would laugh you out.
Maybe we get Harris in a fifth round pick. You know, for Wilfork.
How about Harris in like the second round?
I was going to say something a little bit higher than a fifth round
pick. Okay, but I'm just saying, hey, you know what? Crazier things have happened.
I mean, you're asking two rookies, defensive linemen.
Well,
you got
Mike Wright.
Well,
I think that you
would. That's really risky, Fred.
It is. Life's a risk, Eric. You got to go out on a limb.
Life's a cabaret.
Yeah.
Life's a cabaret?
Yeah.
Oh. Jeez.
Wow.
Kamani writes it. He says, what's this I hear about Eric? He was sporting a new look last week, a vintage look. Had the fedora in everything. What's a fedora? Did he mean fedora?
I think the fool means fedora. Yeah.
Were you wearing a fedora?
I was not. I was joking about it.
I've never had a fedora.
I've never seen you wear it.
I have one, too.
I've never seen you wear
you
a
have
fedora.
One too?
I have a fedora, yeah.
You want me to wear one this year, Paul?
I think Fred would look like one of those coaches on the sideline from like 1968. In a fedora?
I have
one of those brown overcoats.
Right. You know what I'm saying? I have an Indiana Jones.
Hank
fedora.
Stram, that's who he would be. He would be Hank Stram.
Hank Stram was always very Natalie clad.
Well, but you could see Fred.
Sartorially splendid.
Could see Fred on the sideline yelling, keep matriculating the ball down the field,
I
boys.
I look more like Weeb Eubank than Hank Stram.
What is it, two? What was it? 250?
65 toss power trap.
65 toss power trap.
65 you know toss power
gonna,
trap.
65 toss power. I think 65 toss power trap is going to work here. See? I told you.
Kamani says we should have taken a picture of him and posted on the PFW site. And what happened to Eric's webpage redesign? It's going on 2 years since he first announced it.
Wow. Are you dropping the ball?
No, I've been working hard for Patriots Football Weekly.
Oh, baloney. You don't have time to update your website? Come on. Come on, I had time to lay 5 yards of mulch in my yard. You can't update
it's
your
because
website?
Because you didn't go to the preseason game last week.
I did that over the spring and summer.
You also have a son who can do that for you.
But he didn't.
But he should.
So if you had a son, you'd update your website?
That's because he's what you're riding saying? The gravy train.
Maybe you could adopt Ferreira.
What?
He'd update your website.
No, thanks.
Yay. All right. Well, anyway, Kamani.
I'm anywhere near my website.
Kamani's still very concerned with Eric's life off the field.
That's troubling.
All right. Let's take a break. It's 12:43. We'll be right back.
At American Airlines, we know it seems like you're on the road almost as much as your favorite sports team. We know you've scheduled a business trip to a city where your team happens to be playing that night. And we know that on every trip, you inevitably forget to bring a toothbrush. but you never forget that old pair of socks you wear on game day to bring your team luck. We know for you, it's not just a seat on a flight to a place. It's a seat on a flight to your life. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
The New England Revolution are taking on the best teams and the best players in MLS, and you can be there.
Gillette Stadium comes alive!
Revolution 4-game mini plan is the best way to be at the games that fit your schedule. Guarantee your ticket to four of the biggest matches of the season at Gillette Stadium. Opponents like Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, Juan Pablo Angel and the New York Red Bulls, conference rival DC United, and Freddie Lundberg and the expansion Seattle Sounders FC. The Revolution 4-game mini plan starts at just $68. Order now and get a limited edition Revolution long sleeve t-shirt free.
Wow, how about that?
Ticket packages and individual game tickets for the entire season are still available. Call the Revolution ticket office at 1-877-GET-REVS, Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000, or log on to revolutionsoccer.net. Pride
drives it and in. What a goal! Sandy Diaz!
Passion.
Listen to this crowd or up.
Revolution.
50 seasons of New England Patriots football, 3 Super Bowl championships, endless memories.
It's good! It's good! Vinatieri!
Live them all at the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Celebrate the greatest players, moments, and teams in Patriots history with sights and sounds that put you right in the action. Step inside the huddle as Tom Brady calls the plays. Go under the hood and review controversial calls just like a replay official. Learn the playbook from head coach Bill Belichick. Take your best shot at a game-winning field goal in the snow and let the confetti rain down while you gaze at the Patriots' 3 Vince Lombardi trophies.
Back-to-back, 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
And don't miss the 30-foot-high displays honoring the team's greatest players or the signature film showing the history of football in New England. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Mass. and is open 7 days a week. Call 508-698-4800 for more information or go online to thehall@patriotplace.com. The Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. An unforgettable, exciting, interactive experience.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Rock the Plaza every Saturday and Sunday, to the Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday, to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
I'll tell you, I was at the beach on Tuesday, and there were a lot of high school girls there.
So you were lying on your stomach drilling for oil all day?
And I'm the inappropriate one.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, back here, PFW in progress. Chris,
he is the inappropriate one, by the way.
I tell you, people are picking up on the David Harris thing. Chris says, how about Ben Watson and one of our second-round draft picks for Harris? So,
one of our second-round picks and Ben Watson.
I might be a lower draft pick.
Yeah. Two is a little high.
Maybe a 4. I understand you would have to give up more than Watson, but we just wanted to get Will Fork.
Yeah.
Right. But David Harris and make them add a pick. You know, certainly Watson's not as good as David Harris, but... I love good old fashioned radio trade talk.
Right, crazy trade talk.
I love it.
Yeah,
hypotheticals.
Anyone's available.
That's right.
Right.
Any price.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because supposedly Denver leaked out that they were interested in David Harris. Doesn't mean that Rex Ryan's interested in trading. Or maybe he is. Maybe he just doesn't fit Rex Ryan's defense, and he wants to, you know, he figures it's a good player.
Well, I heard the Jets said no.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's
no.
That's what I heard. That's what I read yesterday. Right. But I don't. You know, who knows what's really behind the scenes.
Let's see. Dale? Is it Dale? Yeah, Dale from Bedford.
Dale Arnold?
No. Dale from Bedford says, Game 4 preseason, not your most interesting contest. Throw us a bone, coach.
even if that fuss budget Perillo insists otherwise. In order of likelihood, things I'd love to see before getting sleepy watching the game tonight. One, not likely, but it shouldn't be, a touchdown pass from Walter to Watson. He calls Watson ham hands. What?
Why shouldn't that be likely?
Yeah, and
you would want that to happen.
He says it's not likely, but it shouldn't be.
No, but why?
Likely.
I mean, I'm
he
the
said
one
it should be likely.
But I'm more, you know, again, I'm more interested in myself. Right? Okay. I don't really care about you guys. Why is it? I'm the one that said, what is on your watch list tonight? What are you going to be looking for? Why am I being a fuss budget?
I don't know. Two, less likely.
I don't think Watson will play tonight.
Less likely, but shouldn't be less likely. A touchdown pass from Walter to Alex Smith. Who
Alex Smith will play tonight.
Dale thinks Alex Smith is a
stiff. Better.
Even less likely, Slater doesn't get flagged for interference. Is it Slater or O'Brien who messed up?
Slater is funny. A funny case here because he's had those glaring penalties, but he's also made like three tackles, three special teams tackles in every game. And clearly he's down there in position to make plays. He's just got to be more aware of the situation.
But I think I would have expected that more from him last year, what he's done this preseason as far as the egregious penalties. To have him make those penalties a year later, a year into the system,
right?
That troubles me. That's why, you know, he may have made a few plays, but those penalties, you shouldn't be making those kind of penalties as a second-year player on this team.
I hear you, but I do think that some of the developments on the roster with Brewski and O'Connell going and some of these other things that have happened there's probably going to be room for some of those guys that I didn't think there was going to be room for, and he might be one of them.
The other thing I'm not so comfortable with is having him as the return guy.
Oh, I don't like him as a returner at all.
But he's out there. Whether or not he gets the ball on every kickoff,
he's been the secondary guy.
He's been either the first guy to catch it or the secondary guy every time.
I like Maroney as a kick returner.
Yeah.
I like getting the ball in Maroney's hands in space. And one of our emailers brought this up last week before the game, and then they went out and did it. I wish I could credit the emailer who said it because it ended up that's exactly what they did was they threw a screen to him, they split him out wide in a five wide set and threw a quick one. I like getting him the ball in space where he doesn't have to worry about making that read at the line of scrimmage.
No thinking, just run. Even less likely, says Dale. Number 11 taking snaps from center. Edelman. Was he even in practice?
He's another guy. I don't think you'll see him on the field tonight.
And finally,
but if he were to be dressed, I think that he's right. I think that he probably would find a way to get him snaps just in case somewhere down the line.
Least likely but most fun, misdirected snap to number 42 with number 11 in the shotgun. Can fan favorite law firm throw too than Jarvis Green Ellis?
Never seen it.
I don't know if he can throw.
I don't know.
Never seen him throw the ball.
He did look good.
As a runner.
I think he's looked 1,000 times better in this camp than he did last year in camp.
He's decisive.
And he did enough last year to stick around.
He hits the whole practice squad.
Yeah.
You know? He does some of the things that people get on Maroney for not doing.
Well, a lot of people think that he's better. I mean, I don't know if you read all the aspects.
I know.
A lot of people are convinced that he's the best running back on the team.
Yeah.
Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. I think he's looked really, really good. I don't care at all about the games. I don't care about the performance in the game. I don't care about his production because generally when he's playing, first of all, I don't care about preseason production in general. But when he's playing, it's usually later in the game against subs. But I think that he has looked very good in training camp practices. I think he's looked quick.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's. I think he's
a more confident player.
He also
this
seems
year.
To me to be a guy who has more all around skills. Than maybe I thought. I think he can get out of the backfield and catch the ball. I think he's not that he's big, but he's big enough, I think, to run it between the tackles and get to the edge and make some plays. Mm-hmm. I like the guy. I think he has a good attitude. I think he plays hard. I think he runs hard, and I think there's a place for him.
You know,
I think they're going to keep all five of those backs.
I do, too. Well, there's Chris Taylor, so there's six, but I know what you mean. The five not including him. But, Green Ellis ran for 1,000 yards all 4 years in college.
Yep.
But 2 years in Indiana.
And that was in the Big Ten and in the SEC.
And in the SEC.
Not like he did it at Northeastern.
Exactly. And, so the guy's got to have some skills. And, Indiana's not a powerhouse either in the Big Ten. So for him to get that kind of production is impressive in itself because if he's their main guy on offense, the Big Ten defenses are keying on him. And then, like you said, in the SEC, I mean, that's some of the best talent in college football right there. So the guy does have some skills. I think last year, you know, the fact that he got passed over, he was a rookie free agent last year. He had to work his way onto the team. You know, you're not going to get many chances to prove yourself.
Right.
But when he did, he played well. And I think this year he's just a lot more confident back there. Not that he wasn't really last year, but I think he's just, you know, you got a year in the system. You know the plays better. You know, and he's proven that he can play in this league. So, you know, last year was a proving ground for him. This year I think he's taking advantage of that.
You think he stays? Green Ellis?
Green Ellis.
Playing the role of Andy.
Paul and I say yes.
I think he sticks.
So they keep five running backs?
Yes.
Well, they usually do. It's just usually it's
a fullback.
There's a fullback involved. Yeah. It's either 3-2 or 4-1.
Well, then I say yes.
So that's why I don't think it's an extra roster spot. I just think it's five guys.
No, because you really use a tight end as a fullback.
Right, really with none of those five really serving as a fullback. They're all running backs, but I think they're enough different that you can find ways. Now, clearly, to open the season anyway, they're not all going to be active. You know,
no.
You know, right. Benny's probably going to be inactive, you know, in week one if they all five make it and they're all healthy.
Right.
But
you know,
I
you
think
look
he's
at
done
the,
enough.
You look at the three main guys, Morris, Taylor, and Maroney. What's the one thing they all have in common?
Injuries.
Exactly.
And by the way, Falk hasn't been the most durable player over the course of his career. Now, lately he has been
a lot more now.
More durable, but he has been in and out with various injuries throughout his career, and he's getting a little bit older. And I really think that Green Ellis has some of the traits that could make him a Kevin Falk in the future.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see about his blocking and stuff like that are very important, but I think he catches the ball well. I think he's got a little bit of wiggle to his game.
I think he's got great vision. I really think he's got great vision.
I do too. And he's decisive when he gets there.
Yeah.
He doesn't mess around.
I like it.
So we sold you?
Yeah.
We sold
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis makes the team. I love it.
So expect that release cutting him by the end of the day.
Right. In about the next 10 minutes.
I mean, this might be my worst year ever.
Yeah.
This was the first time I can recall that when I did my roster prediction feature, that they actually cut guys on the first cut. Because I always do it before the first cut is made. And then as the paper hits the press, the first round of cuts is made, you know, to get down to 75. I've never lost a guy in the round of 75. Well, I lost Kevin O'Connell this year. So this might be my worst effort ever.
Pratt in Maryland writes in, I'm with Eric. I'm tired of preseason. Can't wait for the start of the regular season in a week.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the Monday night opener, of course, and hope we wreak havoc on the Bills and T.O. A couple things that concern me. Before we do that, your stat on Moss on the Bills.
Oh, for the preview?
Yeah.
Four games. 21 catches, 309 yards, and 6 touchdowns, Randy Moss against Buffalo. And I throw in the caveat that one of those games was that finale last year in the wind where he caught one ball for 13 yards.
Right.
So it's really like 15 for 300 and 6 touchdowns in 3 games.
Great catch. It's unbelievable. So he's got the Bills number.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So now if you're the Bills, obviously, number one thing to do on defense is shut down Randy Moss. But
okay, then you
exactly. Tom Brady loves that. You know, go ahead and focus on one guy.
Welker's going to have 15 catches.
That's right.
But I would rather, you know, what Buffalo's going to have to do, and I don't think they have the capability of doing it. We'll get into this next week, but they're just going to have to get after Brady because they've tried to sit back and let Brady pick him apart underneath. That doesn't work either.
Right. Well, that's what they're saying now. Every on-TV analysis they have of how to stop Brady is, look, if you don't get at him, he's going to beat you. If you do get at him, he might still beat you, but at least you're giving yourself a chance. So look for that this year. I mean, he's going to be under big pressure all year long.
Yeah, at least make it difficult for him. If you sit there and you drop 7 or 8 in coverage, you can't do it. Because if he has that much time, he'll find where you're flooding your zones and where you're providing your extra coverage and your help. And he'll just go somewhere else because it doesn't matter to him if Welker catches it or if Moss catches it or if someone we don't know catches it.
And that's something teams did a lot in the first half of 2007.
Yeah.
They played back. They didn't know what to make of the offense, and they kind of sat back in coverage thinking, all right, we'll try to cover all our bases.
Let's see if we can keep everything in front of us. And that didn't work either because Moss was still getting deep. And at the same time, they were just letting Brady pick him apart. Eric is absolutely right. And how many times do we see it? He just killed him. And then finally, starting with Philadelphia on the Sunday night game
here. Ravens.
They started getting after him. Now, teams were still losing, and they were still giving up 24 points right. or so. But 24 was a hell of a lot better than 38 and right. 56 and right. 52.
And falling behind so quickly, so early.
That your game plan is over.
Right,
you know? So what you have to do is, A, get some pressure and make them work to get the ball down the field. And, B, you have to score, too.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to hold them less than 21.
Right. Okay, so on to Pratt's email. One, can the Patriots afford to cut Paris Lennon? After Bruschi's retirement, I think depth at linebacker, especially inside, is a big question mark. Even though Lennon was injured and not too involved in camp, he was still there and learning the system. Can the Pats afford to get rid of him and pick up someone else at this point, considering that player may struggle to learn the system in crunch time? I personally don't think so. He will, if anything, provide depth behind Guyton and Mayo. I agree. I think Lennon is going to make the team. I think.
Oh, I'd be stunned if Lennon gets cut at this point, unless he's just not healthy.
It's a numbers game. They need linebackers.
Yeah.
Two, Fred, with the questionable defensive play we may have this season, are you off your high horse that the Pats will win the Super Bowl this season? No, I'm not. I'm absolutely not.
Please.
I mean, our defense let us down two seasons ago when our offense carried the team. Do you guys think, given the same situation where we are 2 minutes and change away from winning our fourth championship, the opponent is driving, can this defense do its job at that critical point? In other words, are you confident in this defensive union?
No.
It doesn't matter. They're going to win despite the defensive unit.
Yeah.
This has been an ongoing problem. You know, Paul was criticized last year for saying that the defense the year before wasn't that good.
It wasn't.
It wasn't.
Paul was right.
No, he was right.
I resign.
And it manifested itself in that AFC Championship game when they had a 21-3 lead and they ended up losing that game.
Well, that was 06, but yeah. Your point still.
Yeah, they just couldn't hold on. They just couldn't hold, and it's been building up to that.
They couldn't hold on in that game. They couldn't hold on in the Super Bowl in 07.
Right.
And, you know, last year it wasn't about holding on or anything. Right. They just weren't very good.
And, you know, 07 covered up 06. 07 covered up 06 because of the offense was just lights out.
Yeah.
And it covered up the things that were starting to appear in 06. In 08, you know, even though they weren't the last in total defense, in those critical areas.
They were soft.
Third down,
over the middle.
Red zone, they were really soft. And we're hoping that the guys that they've picked up this year are going to make up for it. I think they will.
If you're going to tell me that. The scenario that the emailer unfolded, they're going to have the other teams driving with the Super Bowl on the line, and if the other team scores, we lose. I'm not going to feel great.
No,
but I do feel great in the fact that we won't be in that position.
Well, I do, but I feel great that if we're in the Super Bowl this
we're
year,
we're not going to blow it this time.
Yeah, we're not going to blow it this time.
And
we wouldn't have blown it last time if Asante Samuel had caught that ball.
Right. Or
but
if Rodney Harrison had knocked that thing off
but
of
that's part
Tyree's
of being,
head.
That's part of being good
oh, I
on
know.
Defense.
I know. But,
they had sacked Eli the first time.
But no one's
time.
Saying that Asante Samuel isn't good.
But I think the defense
he had
in
to
general
play in front
wasn't
of
good enough.
He had the game-ending play in front of him, and blew it.
And so did Brandon Merriweather, as
right.
Eric points out. And so did
Jarvis
Green and Richard Seymour.
They weren't out of position. Brandon Merriweather now is 2 years more skilled. He'll make that play this time.
I still go into this season, Fred, with the feeling that it's going to be like 07 in that the offense needs to get out to quick, sizable leads for them to win games.
Well, I think they're going to be a little bit better.
I think they will be, too.
I say that Jerod Mayo is a better linebacker than anyone they had in 07.
I would agree with that as well.
That may be true.
And he's the center of your defense.
I think they will be better, and I think that they will have less opportunities to be on the field in those situations where it's one score. I think the offense will put them comfortably ahead where you don't have to worry about it.
But I don't feel like I did in 03 or 04 when I knew that the defense could win you a game. I don't feel confident about this defense doing that.
Not yet. Why should you?
No.
They haven't done anything yet. We're going
off
last
year. Not from what I've seen
year.
Off of
no,
the first three preseason games and
right.
training camp.
Yeah. You know, right now I'm banking when it just comes to defense. I'm banking on what we know. I know Wilfork. I know Seymour. I know Mayo, I think.
Those two have looked good. Wilfork and Seymour.
Have
looked very good.
They're in contract years. That you know, guys.
That's what are you looking for?
Doing things that you don't really don't like shooting the gaps on running plays, getting run stuffs either for a loss or at the line of scrimmage. That's very encouraging.
Yep.
To me, because that they're going to need more of that, and not just in the running game. They're going to need to get to the quarterback more to help out in the secondary.
All right. Good, good. Let's see. Got a lot of emails in coming in. A lot of emails.
So read a few.
Webradio@patriots.com is email. No, no. Webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482. I really can't remember that number. That's one of my problems.
Do you have it in your phone?
One of
no.
many.
You should program it into
I
your phone.
I should program it into the phone, because that other day when I tried to call you, I got CBS seen.
Right.
So.
Did you order anything?
No.
I don't know why you didn't just call me.
You?
You think I know your number?
You've called me from your cell phone before.
Oh, that's right. I do have you. you're programmed in.
Oh,
that's
why would I call you?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, that's right. I do. And as he says that, he picks up his phone.
Yeah.
Fred, you are unmatched.
Well, my wife knows that I'm on the radio this time of day.
When she calls you?
She's trying to buy a car.
Really?
Trade in her old car. She wants that Volkswagen diesel that gets like 30 miles to a gallon.
She's trying to do the cash for clunkers thing?
No, that's done.
It's over. Yeah.
But
she didn't try, I'm saying.
But they're going to take her car, no money down, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, look, as long as your car payment isn't as much as it is now, if it's the same or less, then do it, you know? But it's like, her car is only two and a half years old.
Why does she want a new one, then?
I don't know. Well, in all fairness, she's got one of those Subaru Tribecas.
Mm-hmm.
And it only gets like 22 miles to a gallon, you know. It's not. It's a heavy, big car. You know, it's one of those crossover cars.
Yep.
So even though it's a Subaru,
where does she drive?
Huh?
Well, doesn't she just drive locally?
She drives a lot of miles.
Really?
I don't know what the hell she's doing when
doing
I'm not
the Pilates.
Home. What?
Doing the Pilates?
The Pilates and she's all over the place. No, hers is an 06 and it has 58,000 miles on it. That's not bad, but it's a lot of miles.
Yeah, I think the average is like 15,000 a year that most people put on their
20.
Cars.
I do 20.
Well, they usually do 12 to 15 when you buy a car.
Yeah.
It makes you feel any better. I have an 06 that right now I have 81,000 miles on.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's driving back and forth from Boston every day.
What do you
day.
Deliver papers in the morning?
No, I work for the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution.
Where do you live?
What's going on over here?
Boston.
You live in Boston?
North End.
North End.
It's falling.
That's tough getting out of there.
Isn't
it? Oh, no.
Yeah.
Now with the.
It's not bad.
It's not bad now that they've done
it's
the.
It's bad when there's a Red Sox or a Celtics game because traffic sucks.
Right.
What's the most mileage you've ever put on a car?
Well, the Jeep, my Jeep that I had about 120,000.
Yeah, I was approaching two bills with my last car. I think it was like 186 or something when I finally got a new one. February of 08, I got my car. I have 42,000 miles
on it. You got a new car?
No. Actually, I got it in February of 08. I just said that. You listening?
I got you guys beat, though. My first car I got when I turned 16 had 120 on it.
Yeah.
And when the AC died 4 years ago, I had 245.
Wow. That's you good. Should be on a commercial. What
and
kind of car was it?
It was a 1996 Acura Legend.
First car you ever had, Eric?
Saab, 1983 Saab.
Another Saab.
900 Turbo. I put 216,000 on it.
Hold on. Your first car was a Saab Turbo?
An 83. I wasn't.
Well, yeah, but
it was in 1990. Until
93.
Yeah.
What about you, Paul? First car?
You know the answer to that.
I don't know.
What do I drive now?
Honda?
Honda Accord LS.
You're unbelievable. Never switch.
I've had three of them.
You are a man of routine.
I've never switched cars either. I've always got some.
I like them.
Car was a 1960.
Not his first car.
1966.
That was in my first car. Oh, sorry.
Mine was a 1966 white Ford Mustang.
Yeah?
Yeah. That I had I had to take steel plates and rivet them to the floor because you could see the street.
Did it have a crank
see,
on the
I didn't
front of
have,
that?
I didn't have any of those cars, though, Fred. I didn't get my first car until I was an adult. Like, I didn't have a 240,000 miles. You said, I didn't have, one of those junk used cars that most kids have.
Right.
Because I didn't get my license until I was 20.
My first car cost me $230.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That white
Mustang?
Mine cost me $15,900.
Wow. Well,
because I bought my first car, I bought new.
Right.
But I know most people like you, they buy, they have a couple of,
mine was a hand-me-down.
Oh, I had a lot of cars. A
couple of those, like my brother's was a 73 Monte Carlo.
Yeah.
Because it was, he kind of inherited from my grandmother.
Richie's?
Yeah. Richie P was buzzing around. If you hit the gas pedal too hard, he said you had to be careful. You'd end up in Detroit.
Yeah, my dad had a 72 Monte Carlo, you know, new, with the swivel seats. You could open the door and you'd swivel the seat, so you just step right out of the car.
Really?
Yeah.
I like the car in the entourage.
Never
open
seen that.
Where the doors open
the
from the inside.
Yeah.
The convertible.
Yep.
I like that. Yeah. What kind of car is that? You guys know anything about cars? No, I get the blank stare from Doc.
Yeah.
No.
All right, good car talk.
Good talk. See you out there.
Let's get back to some of the emails here. John and Chris in Stamford, Connecticut, who used to be from the Bronx.
Yeah.
Says, I was wondering, and by the way, Chris is doing a bang-up job on Patriots Daily. It's a little blog website about the paper. But he's, you know, for a guy who's just doing it on the side, he's really doing a good job for them, right?
That's how Mike Florio started, right?
Yeah. Chris says, I was wondering if you could talk about what happened to John Stevens' career. It seems like the Pats had a run of backs who had strong rookie years only to fade away quickly. I can't remember if Stevens got hurt or just didn't perform all that well over the rest of his career. Very sad to read about his loss. Well, I remember Stevens, and he was a good back. And here's what, in my opinion, happened to him. He hit
Jeff Fuller,
you know, in the open field, and really he literally paralyzed Fuller. And from that point on, Stevens lost the edge that I thought he had prior.
He never ran the same again.
No. He was a bull. He was like the Christian Okoye guy. You know, he had that kind of
Okoye.
he would hit a hole and just knock people
he
backwards.
He was awesome.
And when he hit
really
Fuller
was.
And Fuller got paralyzed, I think it really affected him, and I don't think he ran that way again.
And that's, I know that's
a good point.
That's the story that everybody, you know, the guys that covered the team then, Kevin Mannix and Ron Hobson, those guys, they say that there was a noticeable difference in the way he ran after that. He, as a rookie in 1988, he had 1,168 yards, averaged 3.9 a carry. You know, so that was a pretty good rookie season, 1988, for a 9-7 team. It wasn't like they were terrible.
Right.
They were in playoff contention until they lost the very last game to Denver.
Yeah. Oh, that game is a killer.
You know, they were 9-6. If they had won that last game, they would have made the playoffs. In 89 was the year they lost everybody in the preseason, if you recall. They
Lopette,
lost Tippett, Lopette, and Garen Veras in the preseason game against Atlanta. Here at the, well,
Green
not
Bay.
Here. It was Atlanta. It was a home
Atlanta.
Game.
Yeah, it was a home game. I thought it was against
Foxborough.
Green Bay.
I'm pretty sure it was Atlanta.
You might
but
be right. I know it's a home game.
They all went down for the year in the same preseason game, so there was no hope really going into that season. And then they played San Francisco, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks. Week seven, they were 2-4 going into that game, and that's when that happened. And by the way, just to show you how much of a loser I am because I remember this stuff.
Right.
That San Francisco game was actually played in Palo Alto where Stanford plays because that's
the
year of the earthquake.
The earthquake game.
89.
Right. That's right.
Right.
So they couldn't use Candlestick Park. And Jeff Fuller was a good safety for the 49ers, came up, and Stevens lowered his head. I do remember the play.
Oh, yeah. It was just a hellacious
collision.
Yep.
And he went down, and he ended up being okay, but I think his career ended, if I'm not mistaken. And he was paralyzed. Not permanently.
Right.
But from what those guys like Mannix and Hobby and those guys tell us, Stevens was never the same. It really affected him.
Yep.
And he only had, I don't even know how many more years he played.
Until
he had
93.
A short career. Very short
career.
Yeah,
he played until 92.
Three.
He didn't play in 93. Well, he didn't get a rush in 93 anyway. Maybe he got hurt or something that year and he was officially a Patriot in 93, but Leonard Russell
they drafted Leonard Russell.
Leonard Russell had 1,000 yards in
91?
93.
I think they drafted, that was the 91 draft, right? Russell and Harlow?
Yeah, Russell was in 91. But Stevens, you know, Stevens after that 1,000-yard year as a rookie, he had 833, average dropped to 3.4 his second year, 808 in 90, 959 in 91. Only 163 in 91.
Yeah.
63 carries for 163 yards, so he went downhill in a hurry,
yep.
390 in 92, and then he was done.
Chris also says, about tonight's game, it doesn't really matter to me, but I'm not trying to make the roster. Who starts at middle linebacker, and how do you think Walter will do at quarterback?
Who starts at middle linebacker?
It's a good question.
Well, in the 4-3,
I would think,
obviously it's Mayo.
I would think,
in the 3-4, it's Mayo and
Guyton.
I would think Lennon starts tonight, right?
Oh, tonight, Lennon.
Oh, he said, I don't care about tonight.
Well, yeah.
Well, Mayo. I mean,
yeah.
I got to think he's talking about tonight.
Yeah. Okay.
I think Lennon would probably get
he'll
some
get a, he'll
time
get a lot
tonight.
Of playing time tonight, absolutely. But
and I don't think Mayo will play. I'm not sure those guys will all be even be in uniform.
Hey, Doc, did you read Mikey Vandalism or listen to Mikey Vandalism's MP3?
Yes.
Is it okay to play? All right, let's listen to Mikey Vandalism's latest MP3 question.
What's up, guys, at PFW in Progress? This is Mikey Vandalism coming to you from East Haven, Connecticut, with another premium question. So my question for this week is going to be in correlation to Teddy Bruschi's retirement. So my question is this. Whose career would you rather have? Would you rather have Junior Seau, who is a future Hall of Famer with no Super Bowl rings? Or would you rather have Teddy Bruschi's illustrious career here in New England with 3 Super Bowl rings, who is a longer shot to make it into Canton? So if you were to choose between those two careers, both are very similar, and they both play together. So if you had to pick between those two, who would you pick? I think it's an interesting topic. So let's hear what you guys got to say.
That is a good question. I think, though, and I'm going to sound, you know, a little materialistic here, but I think Seau made more money over his career, and he set up for the future a little bit
better. I was expecting you to say something different.
Yeah, I would think I would rather have Bruschi's career.
I agree
with
you.
Because of the championships?
Yeah, yep. Now I wouldn't rather be a bit player and win Super Bowls than be a star and not win, but Bruschi wasn't a bit player. Bruschi was a very, very good player and a very important part of 3 Super Bowl winners, went to 2 other Super Bowls. I would rather that than, you know, never having...
Because guys who go into the Hall of Fame, a lot of them have their one regret is they never won a title.
Right.
But a lot of guys who... Most guys who win a title aren't really upset that they didn't make the Hall of Fame.
Right.
You know what I mean? Some might say, oh, you know, I think I deserve to get in or whatever.
Seau's going to the Hall of Fame and Bruschi's not, but that doesn't mean
But Seau's going to say he never won a ring.
You know, no, you're right. I didn't really think of that. I mean, there's no question that Seau made more money in his career and will make more money going forward. Yeah. Although, I'll tell you.
I don't know.
Bruschi,
I think Bruschi has
Bruschi will
locally,
be able to.
Locally, Bruschi can make some money.
I think he can make some money.
Yeah, but he's not going to make Hall of Famer money.
No, but, I mean, he's not going to be suffering.
But if he's
smart.
He's not going to be suffering.
If he doesn't overdo it but does the right things, He'll
never have to work a day in his
life. Andy said this immediately after the press conference the other day. If Bruschi's people were smart, and I'm sure they are, he's putting that right out. He's getting video of that, and he's sending that out to motivational speakers and company. Right. You want me to come and speak for your company? This is what I can. I mean, he was tremendous.
You think we can get him to have his own radio show on Patriots.com radio?
No, I don't think he'll do that. No, I was going to ask him afterwards because he said, you know, you guys give me a call. If you guys need anything, give me a call. Text me. Send me an email. And I was going to say, well, you know, whatever you want to do for PFW, certainly the door's open.
Sure. But
we got an empty seat right next to Eric.
He walked out.
The Teddy Bruschi show. Huh?
I think it'd be great.
Maybe me and him, Freddie and Teddy.
I think it'd be great.
Fred and Ted.
Yeah.
These things really are huge.
Wow.
Got uncomfortable all of a sudden.
Steve from Sydney, Australia says, since discovering your show in March, I haven't missed an episode. I don't listen live because it's 2 a.m. over here when the show is on, but download the podcast and listen to you in the car going to and from work. As a side note, I'd like to pay massive respect to LT and Adelaide for staying up until 1:30 to listen live. Being a big Teddy Bruschi fan, my question is, do you think the Patriots will retire Teddy Bruschi's number? And looking forward to taking on B-Lo and the Doctor in fantasy football this season.
I don't know about you, Paul or Fred, but I have pretty strong feelings about the retired number thing, especially since we have a Hall of Fame here now.
Mm-hmm.
I think only really, really, really special players should get their numbers retired from any team. Especially like if you have a Ring of Honor or like we have the Hall of Fame.
Right.
That's what that is for, to honor those players. Retiring numbers, I think, is something
you're absolutely right.
I'm with both of you. Yeah. I think pro football Hall of Famers. That's it.
And,
exactly.
You know, I know this is going to offend a lot of people who are big Nick Bonacani fans, but I think what the Patriots need to do is step back, unretire every number that's ever been retired, and start over again.
I would agree.
With John Hanna.
73.
I agree.
And
56.
Tippett, right.
And I'd say 40, because
Haynes,
I think Mike Haynes – even though he played for the Raiders.
I think this is where I might
part company with you. He had a lot of years.
I know he's in Canton, but he wasn't to the Patriots
yes,
what
was.
Hanna
was.
And Tippett were.
he was up to that point, and he would have been had he stayed here.
Right. I can't hold it against him because the owner was a cheap SOB.
But it is what it is, Paul.
Even though he's in the Hall of Fame.
But
now.
It is how it turned out to be. I don't hold it against Haynes, but he didn't mean to the Patriots what a Brady's going to end up meaning, what Tippett meant, what Hannah meant.
But those guys were with the team all their career.
I understand that.
Haynes was on that track.
I know, but it's not Haynes' fault. I'm not blaming Mike Haynes.
I'm not saying you are.
I don't know enough
about
Bonaccini because I never saw him play.
Right.
So I can't argue with you.
I just threw out that name as an example.
No, but Bonaccini's in the Hall of Fame.
Right. I know.
So he'd be in the same situation you talk about with Haynes.
And I would say no to Bonaccini.
Right. Bonaccini was a great player for the Patriots for a lot of years, and he was a great player for Miami.
Right. He made the All-Star game every year.
But I don't think Bonaccini would be in the Hall of Fame if not for his time in Miami. I do think Mike Haynes would be in the Hall of Fame without his time as a Raider.
I agree with that.
That's why I would
if
make
you
a determination.
Here,
but again,
I didn't see
Bonaccini play. So it's really unfair for me to make that statement. I'm just looking at it on paper, and that's not a good way to judge a career.
But I think when you retire a guy's number, it's not just his ability as a player. It's what he meant to the organization, the franchise. I really think that's part of retiring the number. You know, that's different than getting into the Hall of Fame.
So if you have
obviously Bonaccini's in the Hall of Fame, and Mike Haynes, that's a shoo-in.
Let me just ask you this.
Yeah.
Because it's an interesting point you bring up. A guy like Ty Law.
Right.
Okay. Hasn't really done a whole lot of things in this community.
Right.
Hasn't been like a Teddy Bruschi kind of, you know, emotional favorite.
Right.
But let's just say he goes to the Hall of Fame.
Right.
You wouldn't want.
No.
Because he
doesn't get in.
Because he didn't do enough.
He didn't mean enough to this organization.
Well, I think you're crazy. I think that's a crazy way of looking at it.
Okay. Well,
because all these guys are paid to do is play football.
No, I understand that. And really, that's. But what did their playing football while they're, you know, what did it do for the organization, you know?
So you don't think Ty Law's playing football did anything for the organization?
I think he's very close. I think it'd be a hot debate. I think at the end of the day, he doesn't get in.
So let me rephrase it.
This is a very lofty.
Let me rephrase it.
I'm not talking about Hall of Fame.
I'll
escort him into the Hall of Fame. I'm talking about having his number retired.
Let's say, I know you're saying, I'm talking about Canton.
Oh, Canton.
The Canton Hall.
Maybe he goes into Canton.
Well, Ty Law's going to go to Canton.
Yeah.
And what I'm telling you is if he – so you wouldn't retire his number, though, because he didn't do enough as a Patriot, you're saying?
Probably not.
So if he had ended his career when he got hurt his foot in 04 and he never played – let's just say that was the last game he ever played.
Right.
So he didn't play in Kansas City. He didn't play for the Jets.
Right. I still would not.
You're crazy and you're lying.
No,
because the only reason why you don't want to retire his numbers because he played elsewhere,
especially
in New York
for the Jets,
has nothing to do with it.
Yes, it does.
No,
yes, it does.
But I
can only hope and pray for Tom Brady's sake that he retires a Patriot. Because if he goes and plays for someone else for the last 3 or 4 years of his career, I think it would be an awful shame if someone who has the power that you do could somehow keep Tom Brady's number from being retired.
I have no power, first of all.
Oh,
second of all,
on.
Tom Brady's number, his place in this franchise is done. It's settled. He could retire today. His number gets retired. It does not matter.
I agree.
Unless he kills somebody.
Yeah, right.
Like O.J. Simpson.
That's different.
His number is going to get retired.
But even O.J.'s still in the Ring of Honor.
Well, that's because it was done before the fact. I think that vote was being
taken
today.
The cover of their media guide right now has a bunch of pictures like our team of the century.
Yep.
They have one. He's not on it.
No.
He's not on it.
Right.
That damage was done. But no matter who Tom Brady plays for in the future or what happens, minus some egregious crime, his place in this organization's Hall of Fame and Ring of Honor, whatever you want to call it, it's settled. It's done. Okay?
Right.
I think Law is up for debate as far as retiring his number.
I just feel if the guy ends up going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and the reason he goes to the Pro Football Hall of Fame is because of what he did as a Patriot, you retire his number. That's how I feel.
That's my criteria.
I respect that.
So that, therefore, there should be a select hand few of numbers.
Right. Hannah,
handful of numbers that would be retired.
Right now, there would be three: Hannah, Haynes, and Tippett.
Exactly, that's my
three.
That would
be the only three numbers I would have retired. Certainly, I'd be waiting in the wings for Brady.
No,
and we'll have to wait and see.
But that's the level.
If these other guys,
that is the level. That's the level.
That'd be my criteria. And Eric is exactly right. That's why you have a team Hall of Fame. You're
exactly.
honoring the great players
right.
of your team.
You have right. you have a special exhibit, special wing for Brewski, if you want, yeah. in the Hall
if,
of Fame.
If your team has gods lower G, that's who gets their number retired. Those are the gods of your team.
I mean, they get the red jacket now when they get inducted into the Patriots
right.
Hall of Fame. Brewski's got one. He can go get fitted for it now. He's going to get it, whether it's in however many years from now that
right.
he's due. He'll get that. He'll get his due in the Hall of Fame.
This, and we brought this up the other day, and I'm still interested in some feedback from the from our listeners. This is going to be a good run of guys that were important players on these teams that are going to be coming up. There's a possibility in 2 years Drew Bledsoe will be eligible. He'll probably go in by himself because I don't think there's anybody else that's really up. The year after that, Troy Brown will be up. Same thing. I don't think anybody will be going against him. These are Patriots Hall of Famers to me, locks.
Right.
But then the year after that is going to be this class
right.
with Brewski, Rodney Harrison, and perhaps Ty Law.
And Willie McGinnis.
And Willie McGinnis. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun to sort of debate those guys
yeah,
and
yeah.
argue the merits of one. They're all, I think, they're all lock, stock, and barrel. Patriots
yeah.
Hall of Famers.
They'll all get in.
There's no argument.
Yeah. But who gets in first?
But who gets in first and how long yeah. does it take guys to get in? And what happens if, guys are left out and then, other locks.
Right.
Kevin Faulk and Mike Vrabel and Matt Light and Richard Seymour. Maybe not. I don't know. I mean, I think you're crazy, but, who knows?
Right.
Who knows what you guys do to these votes?
Imagine that.
Paul, I'm not even in there voting. You're the one on the committee.
What do you mean you're not in there voting?
I wasn't there this year.
You weren't there this year, but you're on the committee.
I'll be busy
just because
next
you shirk
year.
Your responsibilities.
I'm so busy. I'm not going to get any less busy next year.
But you are on
you
the committee.
Guys,
don't wash your hands.
It's all day. You have lunch.
It's all
big
day.
Thing.
Yeah.
Fred,
oh, sure.
Fred, please.
Yeah.
What?
Please.
We had an all-day thing this year to pick the all-decade team of the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, as well as the team of the half century.
Right. Well, you don't think
normally we have a little meeting for about an hour to nominate three players.
You have dinner,
which the fans vote in to the Hall of Fame. We don't have dinner.
Yes, you do. You had dinner this year. You didn't have because it was an all-day thing. You had
we
lunch.
Had lunch today.
Right.
This year it was all day.
But in the past, we've had dinner.
Bottom line is you're eating at these
with
meetings.
Alcohol. By the way.
So you're not going unless there's dinner.
Not at lunch.
Some sort of food item has to be served.
They have a fridge full of beer and wine.
I didn't see anybody having any alcohol.
I didn't say this year.
When? Did you see it?
The year before.
There was no alcohol involved.
I did.
I've been at every one of those stupid meetings.
I was drinking heavily.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
I do. Now I'm really upset. I missed out on a chance.
Once again.
To have nine beers and pretend I was drunk.
Once again, one of our listeners comes through with an answer to a question that we had.
There was nothing pseudo about it, my friend.
Brian from Baltimore with the answer to the question of what is the car in Entourage. It's a 1961 Lincoln Continental convertible.
There you go.
Wow. And the doors really swing open like that.
Yeah.
Huh?
Do you know what I'm saying? Have you seen it?
Yeah, I knew someone with a car like that.
Really?
The doors
like
open
the handles,
this way.
The
right.
handles front and back seat
right.
are next to each
exactly.
other.
Exactly.
So they open up.
Yep. It's nice.
It's a cool car.
Yep. There's another car, well, a new car now, the Honda Element.
Yes.
The side doors open that way. So it's one big
friend's
opening.
Got one of those.
That's yeah. a bad car.
Yeah, it's a piece
boxy.
Of
boxy.
Yeah.
Looks
like
it's
yeah,
a big box.
It's a box. Yeah. I like the pilot.
I got passed this
better.
Morning on the highway. I saw a cop up ahead. In a speed trap, so I was in the middle lane to slow down a little bit. A smart car. Have you seen those? Those smart
those
cars, those tiny little
yeah.
things. Comes tooling by me like a little Lego car.
It was going like that.
It's like someone had to spin one of those tops.
Yeah, exactly.
We should all be driving them.
I don't want to drive one.
I don't either, but, Paul says, I would like to have seen more of Julian Edelman in the last preseason game. So far, I like Sebastian Vollmer. I also like Ben-Jarvis Green-Ellis. Is it possible the Patriots are sticking with Lawrence Maroney because he was a higher draft pick?
No, I think they're sticking with him because I think they still think he can do something. I don't think
Lawrence
draft...
Boney Maroney.
Thank you, Boomer. As we saw with O'Connell, I don't think it matters where you get drafted by this team. It matters what you're doing for the team at the moment. And I think Maroney's done enough to deserve another chance here.
Yeah, I'm not... Listen, I don't think Maroney is going to be what we all thought he was going to be, but I'm not anywhere near as down on him as most other. I still think he's an NFL back, and a lot of people don't, based on the amount of people that seem to want to get rid of him.
Yeah. Andy says, I remember John Stevens as a kid talking to him on his bike when he played for the Packers. My only Patriot autograph.
Really played for the Packers.
And the Red Zone channel is the best thing. Good luck tonight. So that's Andy. Wow.
I don't remember him playing for the Packers.
He might have gotten traded.
That was in that
might have been at the end there.
That was in that era where I was just completely detached from the NFL.
Yeah.
From like 89, 90 to like 93. Basically, when Drew came,
right,
we were so bad.
It was, yeah.
And there was no hope.
Those were tough years.
I couldn't even watch the rest of the league.
I had season tickets with friends, and we had one more person in on the thing than we had tickets. So every week, someone would not be able to go. By the end of the year, it would be arguing, I'm the one that doesn't have to go this week. You know,
those were tough years, the Hugh Mullen years.
Well, I was one of those idiots in the bench yelling for Flutie.
Yeah. I actually remember the 91 season when the Hugh Mullen year, they actually played a couple of exciting games. They won a couple late. They lost a couple late.
They were close
games.
They
were 6-10, but they were an entertaining 6-10, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But, you know, 90, 92.
The 1-15 season.
You know, 89, 90, and 92. There was no hope.
2-14.
There was no hope at all. I think they won a total of 5, 6, 8 games, you know, in those 3 years. And I couldn't even watch the rest of the league.
Yeah.
It just was no fun for me. That was the era of that Buffalo dominance, which I hated that team.
Right.
Because I always hated Jim Kelly.
Right.
So I couldn't even watch them.
Dave,
I barely watched the Super Bowls. I mean, I did. Unlike Fred, who thinks that more people watch the Super Bowl when it's a good matchup.
Dave from Rhode Island. You know Dave, Eric?
Yeah, I know Dave.
Okay. Yeah. Just a comment on Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. I think Bill would be crazy to let go of him, in my opinion. What I've seen of him this preseason in last year, he is the type of back that runs hard, as you guys said, and hits the holes hard. I think he is arguably the best back on the team. Wow.
See, I told you, a lot of people, we get a lot of emails that say that. You might have been out on the phone when Eric and I were talking about that. We get a lot of emails that think that he's the best back on the team.
Yeah.
I mean, I certainly wouldn't agree with that, but I think that he's shown enough that he should definitely stay.
Chris with a TIAN writes in, listening to Tuesday's show made me feel a little better about the defense. I thought the pass rush and pass defense looked awful, same as last year. I know we have better talent in the secondary this year, but I still see way too many big gains. Perfect example was a 2nd and 18 Washington was faced with in the first half. I said to myself, okay, just don't give up a 10 or 12 yard gain to make the third down manageable. Boom, 14 yard gain Washington. Now has a 3rd and 4th and converted. Aside from some 3 and outs early on, I don't like where the D is right now. Is this a matter of the D taking time to get gelled together? Is it scheme? Is it youth? Is the so-called talent not that good? I think it's really too early to come to any type of conclusion. I do.
Yeah, it is.
You know? I think it's his first thing. I think it's just going to take some time to gel.
Andy thinks that they're going to be okay, but it's going to take a little while to gel. I think you're going to see a little bit of better pass rush right from the start. I think they're going to be a little bit more aggressive because they're going to say to this guy, you know, Lee Bodden, and provided Sean Springs plays, they know what they can do based on past performance. We're going to take a little bit of chance, and you're going to have to cover your guy.
Well,
then if they see that it's not working, they'll probably play a little bit more safe defense after that. But,
and, you know, they're probably holding back a little bit because it's preseason, but I'm not as encouraged by what I've seen out of the cornerbacks as I thought I would be this year. And again, it's only 3 preseason games. I can't make a snap judgment like that, but so far at least I'm a little concerned.
Let's see. Who's this? Brad writes in. Fine day, both mine and my daughter's birthday. Ball game. It is truly bubble time for some players. Who do you all have for linebacker, offensive line, and wide receiver on your 53-man rosters? And he gives us some choices. Ninkovich or Lennon?
I think there's a chance that they both make it.
Yeah. One's inside,
one's
outside.
If I had to just keep one.
Lennon, if there's only one.
I think I would keep Lennon, because
but
of the numbers.
Eric is right. They don't play the same position.
O'Callaghan or Britt?
O'Callaghan would make it over Britt to me, but I don't think either one of them will make it.
Really?
No.
Yates.
They'll have 3 tackles for the first 6 weeks, and then Mark Lavoie will be activated to be the 4th.
Yates or Connolly?
Yates.
Yates,
I would take Connolly.
Okay. Slater or Ventrone?
Ventrone.
I would say Ventrone, too, but I think Slater's going to get the nod.
Yikes. Nunn or Lewis?
Oh, Lewis.
Well, Lewis has the edge, but. Yeah.
Anyway, Nunn slips onto the roster if he has an impressive game tonight and Lewis doesn't. I don't think so. Oh, no. He wants to know, is there any way Nunn slips on? And
no, I don't think Lewis will play, so I think Nunn has a chance, but I think it's a very slim
one. Your best
one.
Bet for Nunn is practice squad.
I think your best bet for Nunn is if Edelman is seriously injured and he can't, you know, we know we haven't seen him and we don't expect to see him, but it might be like a hamstring that just – you know, they've given him 2 or 3 weeks. So I have no idea what the injury is, by the way.
Right.
I'm just saying something, quote-unquote, minor that they know, all right, it's going to take 2 or 3 weeks. Let's give him some rest. He's okay.
Give him more rest than he needs.
Yeah, if it were the regular season, he could probably go. No sense of aggravating it in the preseason. If that's the kind of injury, I don't think Nunn has much of a shot at making it. Now, if it's something that they don't know about and they're still doing tests or whatever and they're trying to figure it out, then maybe Nunn can sneak onto the 53.
Todd writes in, how about Matt Light for David Harris? Would you give up Matt Light for David Harris?
Well, no.
No, I don't think I would.
No, I don't like the idea of having a rookie left tackle.
Yeah. Mike from Charlotte, Seymour for Harris in a second round pick.
Oh, why are we? No. God, no.
Come on.
Why am I trading Seymour?
But people are thinking about it.
Well, I know. That's fun, though. That's what I said when you brought it up.
Yep.
So that's good. That's good radio stuff.
Seymour for Peppers, I would have done.
I wouldn't do Seymour or Will Fork for David Harris. And I know that he said in a second round pick, but I just think that you're kind of you have good players up front, and then you I don't think you can say that if you trade one of those two. I think those are the two linchpins up front.
Todd also wants to know when Ty goes into the Hall of Fame, do the Patriots retire his number? We just talked about that.
Fred says no.
And
Paul
says
yes.
And he says, and Paul, if you have any pull, make sure Laura goes in before Harrison and Teddy.
Well, I don't have any pull because the fans vote for it. The only pull that Fred and I have, even though Fred has washed his hands of all responsibility, is to come up with three nominees.
Yeah.
We vote. We have a nomination meeting. We all talk about... What would you say, Fred? 8, 10, 12 possibilities, and we all make everybody gets up and presents
right,
a guy,
right.
Makes an argument for him, and then we all vote. And the top three vote-getters are presented as the nominees for that year, and then the fans vote. So I don't have any pull, unfortunately, to get one guy over the other. But I'll tell you, I think anybody that goes against Brewski in a fan vote is going to be awfully hard-pressed to beat Teddy.
Yeah.
He's a fan favorite unlike I've ever seen.
Paul Perillo?
Larry says, Fred, liar, liar, your pants are on fire. Law should be in. Go Pats.
See, I'm not the only one to call jail for that. And you know it's the only reason is because he played for the Jets.
No. Also, he says, Fred, are you saying San Diego Chargers should not do anything for JR? Who's JR? JR Redmond?
The Chargers should not do anything for...
JR. What is JR?
I don't know what JR is.
I
anyone? Mueller?
The Chargers?
Maybe Larry, you can, you know.
The Chargers shouldn't do anything for JR. I don't know.
Let's see. Bill says, hey, guys, including the untrained artist formerly known as Eric. Sorry, it's been a while. I have had a lot going on here in Colorado. But I have kept up with the show. In fact, I was at the dentist having my tooth pulled during Fred's solo hour. Wow, which is worse, me or getting the tooth pulled? Anyway, I can honestly say now, listening to it was like pulling teeth. Oh, he says it right there. I kept making sour faces, and the dentist kept asking me if I was feeling what he was doing. It had nothing to do with the dentist. Don't do that to us again, Fred. Listening to Eric ramble on about his glory days in the football field or his sexual exploits with... Wait, what am I saying? Sexual exploits. You can't exploit what you don't have. Silly me. Anyway, listening to Eric ramble would be better than another Fred solo show. Wow.
That's a very Andy Hart-like email. While paying a so-called compliment, he's taking shots at everybody involved.
But he says, you guys talked about trying to come up with an hour show for the radio station. You had suggested a player-hosted show. Why couldn't you combine that with a fan call-in show, sort of like the Weiner line? Maybe the second half of the show could be an opponent breakdown show. The host could have, say, the special teams coach break down the upcoming opponent special team. The next week could be a different coach breaking down the linebackers. And one other question, what are the chances that we draft a chin for Bilo in the early rounds next April. Wow.
Bilo getting a lot of comments about his physical appearance.
Bill just really just not happy with any of us.
Yeah, I also wouldn't be holding your breath waiting for the Patriots coaching staff to break down the other teams.
Right. That's kind of like what they're paid to do in secret.
Right. As I said to Dallas Thomas the other day, you know, so what have you seen from Buffalo this preseason? You know, how much different, you know, with the hurry up and stuff? He goes, well, I can't tell you that.
Right.
He looked at me like I had three heads. I'm like, well, I mean, in a general sense, AD, I'm not looking for the game plan.
I want to help out Kabir from Columbus. He's new to the game of football. Okay. He has some questions. Maybe Eric.
Kabir Bajabiamil?
I am still new to football, just started to look at it in the last 2 years. That's what you get for being a foreigner, but just love the game and the Patriots. Anyhow, I always wondered if there is less than 3 minutes remaining, and this might be a question for you, Paul, because it's very complicated.
Why? Because it has, like, you know, an actual need to know what rules are?
I always wondered if there is less than 3 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter, and you just need 1 to 6 points to win the game in your in-field goal range, wouldn't you tell your receivers or running backs, if you make the first down, take a knee or allow yourself to get tackled so after you make a touchdown or field goal, you leave little to no time for the other team? Example of the last Super Bowl. Sorry for being so long-winded. Do we understand the question fully?
Yeah.
He's saying,
the thing is, when you're trailing and you need a touchdown. Down. Now, if you needed a field goal to win, if you were down 1 or 2 points and you just needed a field goal to win, I think exactly what you said happens a lot. Once you're in field goal range comfortably, you now try to not only continue to improve your field goal position, but you try to milk the clock as best you can.
Right.
Now, if you're down by 3 or more points, and you need a touchdown, you have to score a touchdown. You can't you can't say, I want to score a touchdown, but take as much time as I possibly can while doing it. In a perfect world, like the Super Bowl, that would have been the case. But there's no guarantee. That was a third down play the Patriots scored a touchdown on in Super Bowl 42.
Right.
So if that play had been incomplete, no one would be talking about why didn't they try to waste more time. They would have kicked the field goal to tie it.
Would have been 10-10.
Changed the whole complexion of the end of the game. So there's a big difference there. You can't just hope that you waste all the time. Right. I mean, in a perfect world, you're right, Kabir, but I think it's a lot harder to do that in practice than it is, on paper.
Lynn Lunn from South Dakota writes in.
Lynn Lunn. Is that a new emailer?
Doesn't sound familiar.
His name is Lynn Lee, but he calls himself Lunn.
Okay.
So. On Tuesday, you guys talked about quarterbacks. Got me thinking, my friend and I always argue about how great Elway was, my friend being the Broncos fan. He always says Brady is good because of the system. Do you think he is good because of the system, or how do you think he would do on another team? Absolutely love the show and expecting a championship. Ridiculous.
Brady would be pretty great, I think, regardless. But
it helps that he's in this system.
I think he's in a great system for him.
Yep. Like Montana.
But he's not a system quarterback.
No. You can't. With the way that Brady is allowed to audible during the game, you can't say that he's part of a system. He's as much an offensive coordinator on the field as the coordinator is on the sideline. He understands the game. He doesn't need to be in a system. He creates his own system.
Right.
Yeah.
The point that Eric and I are making is,
I mean, every quarterback's in that team's system.
Right.
Yes.
So what specific system would play to his strengths? If Tom Brady played for Oakland, all his audibling wouldn't really help him. They want to, in the traditional Oakland sense, they
just
want
the ball,
this big vertical passing game where, that's all they're asking him to do. That's not necessarily playing to his strength. But in the Patriots, it's about a lot of reads and checks.
Because they have Tom Brady.
No, that was their system. That's what Bill Belichick brought with him. He needs that. That's why Kevin O'Connell's not here anymore.
So when Bledsoe was the quarterback, it was all about reads and checks?
Yes, which is why Brady was better than Bledsoe. He was better at that than Bledsoe was.
Okay. I think that when you get a guy like Brady, you start doing things that he's good at.
I think they add that element to it, but I think
the
foundation
evolved?
is what they've been running.
Any smart coach doesn't try to fit a square peg in a round hole. You look at your personnel and say, what can I do with these guys?
You're missing my point.
And then once in a while, once you start going in a pattern, then you start trying to find guys that are good for your system.
The offense has evolved under Brady to do more things than it did in 2001.
Because they could.
Because Brady allowed it to.
Right.
No question about that.
Okay.
He's not a system quarterback. Brady would be very successful in virtually any system that you could come up with on a football
field. Now, Elway was just...
Elway would be successful in any system you came up with.
Exactly. And, you know, now Elway had his flaws. I mean,
sure he did.
In his early years, the guy would be 5 yards away from him. He'd try to drill a hole through the guy. A
lot of interceptions.
He had no touch.
Because he always, much like Drew, always thought he could get it there.
Right.
Exactly. I could fit it in there. I have my arm, man. I can do it.
And more times than not, he did.
He'd throw across his body, across the field.
He got away with that, though. He's one of the few quarterbacks who got away with throwing across his body.
Because he has an arm. He, you know, by the way, Beckett. He's got an injury, and it's keeping
him. He figured it out last night, I think.
Yes, I did.
I think he figured it out.
No, I don't think he
gave up. He gave up the runs early, and he settled right down. I'm more encouraged by that.
I think he's got an injury that's keeping him from throwing his good breaking stuff.
You might be right. But most people that have watched him have said his velocity hasn't changed.
No, his velocity hasn't.
It probably would have changed if his
Schilling
if
said,
he had
Schilling
a
was on
thing.
The radio this morning. He said he's wild in the strike zone, which is a good way of putting
he
it.
He has been.
Yeah, he's throwing it right down the middle.
But I also think that he's not on top of the ball as much as that. I know that John Farrell always talks about the plane.
Right.
You know, he's not changing planes with the fastball, and things are a little bit flat. But I was encouraged last night where he gave up a couple of home runs early. Then he gave up a cheap run when that Euclid made a bad error on him, and that cost him a run. Then he just was lights out from that point on.
But
and
he's not throwing that great breaking ball that he has.
No, but I'm not as worried about him. I think the next start is going to be back to the old Josh Beckett. Right. And I think if they can get that, if they can get Lester and Beckett, watch out. If they can get them both to be dominant the way they're hitting now with Victor Martinez in the lineup, and I know that you still think they're going to catch the Yankees,
even though
since you said that they've dropped a game and a half in the standings, but that's okay. Like how I worked that one in there.
All ye of little faith. See, that's because I approach these pro sports. I have
blind
a feeling
faith.
For it.
Blind faith has nothing to do with
the
feeling.
I sense the ebbs and flows. You are very cold and calculated.
Yeah,
in
the
how
ebbs
you
and flows
it.
Are exactly why I say the Red Sox won't catch the Yankees.
Jim and Sarasota.
They'll both make the playoffs. That's all that matters.
Who cares? It's baseball.
That's right.
Jim and Sarasota.
You brought it up.
I just want to talk about Beckett because I noticed that last night. There's something keeping him from throwing
that breaking
ball.
I'll call John Farrell tomorrow.
By the way, who I think is going to get a managerial job.
Well, he's up for one every year. He turns him down.
Real quick, you're tight with Schilling, right, from your radio?
The one time I talked to him on the radio, we're very tight.
What do you think about his...
they're both good Christians.
What do you think about his exploration into possibly running for the Kennedy seat?
I think it's a publicity
stunt. I have no doubt that he thinks he could do it.
I have no doubt that he thinks he could do it either, but I don't think he has any
intention. But he's talked
in the past
about
politics.
Political.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't think he has any.
He's always been involved in politics. He endorses every Republican that runs.
I don't think he has any intentions of doing it, number one. Number two, I think he's far too smart to know, to not know that he'd have no chance in Massachusetts as a Republican to get that
I'm not
seat.
So sure about that, Paul.
No chance.
Money, name recognition?
NCAA. Yeah.
No chance at all.
All
right.
You can't win. I mean, you have to be really... a moderate at best.
Right. You have to be a Weld Republican.
Which is kind of how I consider myself.
Right.
But you can't be a Republican. He's not a Weld Republican, Schilling.
No.
He's not, you know, a Jerry Callahan Republican. Either.
I'm a Weld Republican.
Yeah. You don't think
I would
with
consider
all the Red
myself
Sox fans in this area that he would get people to go to the polls to vote for him?
No. No. I think that.
You don't think he'd be competitive in a Senate race?
First of all, a lot of Red Sox fans probably don't vote.
And with most Red Sox fans, if you can't vote via AM radio, they can't vote. They don't know anything but that.
I'm just saying that might draw them to the polls.
What?
They don't know from that.
Jim in Sarasota says, somebody asked the question on Tuesday's show whether Belichick was a better strategist or talent evaluator. I agree that he's great at both. As far as him being a talent evaluator, in my opinion, he approaches the evaluation process differently than other coaches. For example, I think most football people will decide they have a need at a position to find the measurables they believe that position requires and look for the best match. Bill, on the other hand, looks at the whole player and determines his specific strengths. Then, if he sees enough upside, he is intelligent enough to create a position for him and work that into a team concept. You would agree or disagree with that? I kind of disagree with it.
I think that Bill definitely has a list of measurables that he feels are required for a position. I think we saw that with outside linebacker this past spring when he talked about there were a lot of good intriguing guys that were tweeners in the draft, but there weren't a lot of guys that were 6'4", ran a 4.6, you know, and stuff like that when he talked about the Everett Browns and the Larry Englishes of the world come the draft. I don't
Might want to turn your mic off when you do that.
You could have put that on.
Why did he give us these?
Because we've been asking for them for months.
You guys have been begging for mic windscreens for months because Andy keeps licking the microphone.
What?
Are these ours?
Those will be your personal ones.
Do you know how gross these microphones are?
Yeah, that's why Andy wanted a screen.
So we get to keep these?
Yeah.
You guys, I want you to
take them off. You take
them with you at the end of the show, and I'll put different ones on for the EI guys.
But I do understand his point. But I think that Belichick has a list of measurables more than the emailer is letting on.
Right.
I do think that he finds players that he thinks he can work in somewhere, and he does that probably better than most do.
But that doesn't mean he says, oh, I need a linebacker, and I'm going to take a linebacker no matter what. If a guy comes across,
exactly.
I don't care if he's a guard. He's going
to
take him.
Why do you think it's been so difficult for people to predict who they're going to take in the draft in the first round over these last few
years? And where
years?
Belichick, I think, comes through most often than not is when he does. I mean, you don't think that Bill recognized the need for linebackers before he drafted Gerard Mayo?
Right.
But rather than just take a linebacker that he doesn't really think is that good or doesn't have the measurables,
he waited
until
he found one.
Till he finds one that he's comfortable
right.
with.
Right. And when he did, he took him with the 10th overall pick.
Right. That's where I think that Bill is better than most. I think Polian does that. You know, for years, Polian, and we hate him, Fred, right?
Right.
But how many times did you see him take a guy like Dallas Clark in the first round or Reggie Wayne even in the first round in Marvin Harrison's heyday? And you're like, how could they? They have this defense that needs help. How can they be drafting these guys? Well, those are important guys and a lot of wins that the Colts have had.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't care. He recognizes a good player, recognizes what he might be able to do in his system, and he takes him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he finds other ways to improve, and that defense has improved over the years. I mean, back in 2002, 2003, that defense was terrible.
Right.
You now consider them among the best in football.
And
many Patriots fans were upset when Richard Seymour was drafted with that pick?
Everybody, I was one of them.
Everybody wanted David Terrell.
I was one of them, and I was wrong.
And when they took Ty Warren and Vince Wilfork, and people were saying, they've got all these D-linemen. What do they keep drafting D-linemen for?
Yeah,
I wasn't saying that about Ty Warren, but about Richard Seymour, I was wrong. I thought, what are you taking a defensive lineman? It doesn't really get after the – Bill always says the hardest thing to find is guys that can get after the passer, and now he's taking a defensive lineman who doesn't really get after – he's not known as a big-time pass rusher, and you really need some weapons on offense, mm-hmm. David Terrell and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And I said, and you have the clip there, Jason, when you always play, but evidently you didn't know where it's from. I resign.
Right.
That was right after they took Richard Seymour with the number 6 overall pick. And who is my favorite guy in that locker room today?
Right now, Richard Seymour.
with no more Rodney around?
No more Rodney. You heart Richard.
I was so wrong on that. It was not even
fun. We got a flurry of emails pointing out that the JR in San Diego was Junior.
Oh. We are a bunch of idiots.
So.
We were thinking it was two initials.
Absolutely, though. Junior Seau's number should be retired when he goes into the Hall of Fame for the Chargers.
For the Chargers.
For the Chargers.
For the Chargers, not for us.
Right. That makes sense.
No doubt.
Is that okay that I called them us? I don't want to offend anybody out there. And I just called the Patriots us. Is that okay?
That's okay.
Sure. Right. We're okay with that.
Suzanne also, Steve in New Hampshire says, do you guys or any listeners have any concrete reasons or examples of mistakes, or are fans just in general afraid of the unknown players, even though Belichick has not let us down in 10 years? Mistakes
what
of what?
Mistakes
picking
of
guys,
what?
I guess?
Yeah, what are the unknown players?
I don't know.
Need more information.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Email. Oh, I wanted to get to this one. Let's see. No, that's not the one. Here we go. All right, here we go.
All right.
31-0 the Saints in that game.
Tom from Providence. You know Tom?
Sure. Yeah.
Figured out it was time for some over-under talk for the upcoming season. Tom Brady, TDs, 37.
Under.
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 Not by much, but under.
Randy Moss, TDs, 19.
Under.
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 Not by much.
Yeah, 19, over 19 would be phenomenal. Combined TDs by running backs, 11.
Over.
Defense giving up 300 passing yards, 5 games.
Ooh.
Over.
See, and that's not a bad sign.
It's not necessarily a bad sign,
right.
But I say I
it
would
could
say
be
over.
A team having to throw every down because they're losing by 20 points.
Good. Fred.
kickoff punts returned by the Pats for TDs, 4.
Under.
Under. Special teams TDs given up, 4.
Under.
Under.
Years Josh McDaniels stays in Denver, 1.5.
Over. You think he'll,
yeah,
he'll survive a season.
He'll survive a season or two seasons.
Yeah, we'll always do is survive one.
Tom Brady passes 1.5. For 300-plus yards 4 times.
Over.
Patriot wins 10.
Over.
Number of Patriots Pro Bowlers, 3.
Over.
Games Richard Seymour will miss, 3.
Under.
Sacks by Adalius Thomas, 5.
Over.
All right, I'll go over.
And finally, interceptions by the Patriots' defensive backfield, 4.
The whole backfield?
The whole backfield?
Yeah. Over.
Okay. That's Tom from Providence, friend of Eric's. How's the galleries going? Didn't you open up your own studio?
Did I open up my own
studio?
Do
you have space in a studio now or something like that?
No. I know people who run galleries in Providence.
Well, so do I, but what does that mean? I'm asking about you.
I don't have time right now, Fred.
All right.
It's all about the Patriots.
No, I'm not doing it with you. No.
Offseason. That's what the offseason is for.
I think Seymour gets a bad rap
for his
durability.
He's pretty durable.
He's been hurt a lot, but he plays.
Yeah.
He had the year 2 years ago in 07 where he started on PUP. So he had to miss the first 6 games. Well, he played in 9 others, so he missed 1 game that year, really. He came off surgery coming off the offseason. That's why he was on PUP. But besides that, he missed one. He played in all 16 in 02, missed 1 game in 03, 1 game in 04, missed 4 in 05. That was the year that he originally hurt the knee, playing goal line fullback against San Diego. Played all 16 in 06, played 15 out of 16 last year. I think he's been pretty durable.
Yeah.
What do you think? No?
Do
you think that Ellis Hobbs was talking about Richard Seymour in that comment that he made?
I hope not.
I don't know.
I don't think he was.
Seymour's played.
I think there are other candidates that would be a lot more egregious than Richard Seymour. I think I'm not saying it's fair, but I think he's talking about guys like Benjamin Watson.
Yeah.
And maybe even Lawrence Maroney. He may have been talking about Asante Samuel.
I was just going to say, guys in the defensive backfield, look there, guys that he plays closely.
Now, Samuel hasn't missed a lot of games, but he does miss practice.
Yeah.
You know, and he finds a way to play in the game. Right. Hobbs might find that to be a problem.
Larry points out why he was bringing up Junior Seau with the Chargers. He's saying if Seau goes into the Chargers Hall of Fame and they retire his number, then Law should have his number retired with the Patriots. I don't know why the correlation between the two.
Most people think there is a correlation there, Fred. You, for some reason, don't like Ty Law, and therefore you think it's not the same. Both guys had great careers, long careers, with their team and went somewhere else to end their season.
You think that Ty Law is a lock for Canton. I don't.
I didn't say he was a lock for Canton. I said he's got a shot for Canton. Well, he's a lock for the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah. But you think he's got a shot?
If I said he was a lock for Canton, which maybe I did, I misspoke. I meant he's a lock for the Patriots.
Yeah.
He's got a shot for Canton.
Look, say I was going to make the Hall of Fame, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and get his number retired by the Chargers, I have no doubt.
And Ty Law should, I think, do all those things for the Patriots. I think he should be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
And if he does make it, he should get the 24 retired.
Right.
I agree with you.
Lynn writes in, just to clarify his name, I've emailed a couple times, which you haven't read. Been listening for about 3 years, mostly the podcast. When Drew Bledsoe was drafted, I became a fan of the Patriots, much like Paul. Thank you for answering my question. And my name is Lynn, pronounced Lun, and last name is L-E, pronounced Lay. Okay.
Well, Lun Lay.
Lun Lay.
Lun Lay. Fred.
And
stop perpetuating a fraud.
What's that?
You don't like Drew Bledsoe? 1976, yeah. Monday Night Football against the New York Jets with Joe Namath playing for the Jets.
Yeah.
I was here.
Okay. Going back to the 40s.
41-7 Patriots victory, my first ever appearance.
But that doesn't mean you were a fan.
I was
then.
A huge fan.
You went to the game because your father
I used to build
you.
The old Schaefer Stadium with my Legos.
Did you really?
Absolutely.
With your Legos?
Yeah, when I was like 8.
Wow.
Joe Namath. I just wanted to
see
him play.
We're all losers.
Huge Patriots fan long before Drew
and
Bledsoe came
And then he became a
here.
Fan of a quarterback who was made out of Legos.
Now, when Drew Bledsoe came, I became a season ticket holder.
Right. John is on the phone. John, how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
What's up?
What's going on over there?
Well, I have to say this is the longest I usually call in every week. This is the longest I've been on hold.
How long has he been on hold, Doctor?
1 hour and 24 minutes.
Oh, my God.
What is wrong with you?
That has to be my fault. I didn't even see the thing on the screen that you were on the
John,
phone.
Do you guys remember when I came in at the break and said, hey, do we want to take John on the other side?
Oh, I don't remember that.
I don't recall.
Was I here?
Yes, you were here, friend.
Thank God I have other things going on.
Sorry about that, John.
Man. Evidently, you don't.
That's right. Send your phone bill. Are you on Skype?
Magic Jack?
No, I'm on the Magic Jack.
Oh, Magic Jack. Okay, so that's no problem. It's free,
no
right?
No problem.
Yeah.
So I'll be dropping off right about now.
It's like $1.90 a month.
So what do you got, John?
So Bledsoe Brown, Law McGinnis, Bruce Harrison.
Bledsoe Brown, Law McGinnis, Bruce
Harrison. All pass, Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Yeah,
maybe
I think.
None except Canton. None of Canton except for Bruce Key, I think.
Now, Bruce is not going Bruce to Canton.
Canton.
No way.
No.
My opinion. I don't think. I mean, I think maybe
in
Law.
In my opinion, out of that crew, the least chance out of those six players to go to Canton.
Yeah.
Well, Troy Brown probably.
I think he had the least chance.
The in the last decade of Brady and Moss.
Guaranteed Brady and Moss.
I would agree with that.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
And Belichick.
Bruce does not have a snowball's chance
of players. Of course, Belichick.
Yeah. Bruce's not going to Canton.
Moss and Brady are the only two locks.
There can't be a lot of one-time Pro Bowlers in Canton.
No.
Can't be.
Yeah.
Nope. So I have one easy request for tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll throw one more in there. Vinatieri.
That Matt Slater doesn't run into anybody.
Right.
That's a guarantee?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I don't know.
All right, here I got three trade scenarios.
You're right.
Trade scenarios. Hold on, we can't go.
Okay, all right, yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, Watson or Smith to Green Bay for AJ Hawk.
Well, forget that.
Wait a minute.
Forget that.
Two tight ends for a linebacker?
No, either or.
One of them. There's no chance that's happening.
They're pretty stacked at linebacker, though.
Yeah.
And they're going to get
He's seeming like he's the odd man out. He won't get much playing time. He's been playing the second unit pretty much all through training camp.
Right.
Well, you're not getting A.J. Hawk for Ben Watson or Alex Smith.
Okay, how about this? Watson, Smith, plus a second rounder to Green Bay for Aaron Kampman. No way, right?
Watson or Smith in a second rounder for Aaron. I mean, I don't think you're getting that either. I mean, Aaron Kampman's
a
good pass rusher.
Marshall to the Jets, right? You guys talked about this.
Yeah.
For Harris. Jarvis Green to Denver for Harris.
I don't think Denver would do it.
I don't think Denver would do that either.
They need defensive linemen, though, don't they?
Yeah, but not ones that are entering the last year of their contract who are part-time players.
I mean, they're training a guy who possibly could play every down.
Like the Will Fuller thing that Fred brought up, I don't think the Patriots would do that. But, you know, if you could get Harris in, like, a second rounder, or something like that for Will Fork. I mean, Will Fork is a guy that could play and stand out for their defensive line in Denver. Jarvis Green is a complimentary player. I don't necessarily think the Broncos would be falling all over themselves to try to acquire him. It'd be, you know, I don't think that you would be able to do that for David Harris. It's fun, though. It's fun to bring up this stuff. I think the David Harris thing yesterday that came out of the Brandon Marshall thing, I found it intriguing.
What do you think, though? Chances are that the Patriots will make a trade of some sort before opening day.
75%.
They will? A trade? Really?
Yeah, I think another trade is coming.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's going to be, you know, stop the presses.
Yeah, that surprises me because I was going to say 75% the other way.
That it wouldn't.
I think they're going to. It may be.
You need a partner.
It may be, you know? Just, yeah. It may be A.J. Feely. It may be something as minor as that.
Yeah, it could be.
But I think that there will be another trade in the offing.
Yeah.
All right, John.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for holding on for an hour and 25 minutes. All right, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Want to remind everybody, facebook.com/New England Patriots. And play the fantasy forecast game. It's live right now. I'll be blogging during the game.
First words.
So I'll keep you entertained while the game doesn't. See you next Tuesday.
That'll do it. Another PFW in Progress. We'll be back next week.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, God, yeah.
Patriots.com Radio.